On October the 15th, 2016, David Wynne created a comic book purely from the suggestions of people on Twitter, and we called it Twitter Comic 2016. Alongside it, we opened up a Just Giving page to raise money for the mental health charity Mind, which is very close to our hearts. You can still donate to that and get a copy of the comic book that David created called Astro Vikings if you go to justgiving.com/fundraising/WHI. We also created a podcast alongside it for 24 hours. And these are the records of the Starship Twitter Comic 2016. These boys not too much. Because I'm sure there are two separate stories about involving him running himself over and him and a jacket potato. I can't remember.
I don't know. I think you might be right.
I can't remember how they both go, so I thought I'd go with both of them. Jesus.
Yeah, we cover a lot. I think...
You need to welcome to the segment.
Hang on.
Welcome to the segment. We've got fun and games.
What did we talk about the most?
Shitty podcast.
Chocolate. Wim Wenders of the X-Files.
Sorry? Wim Wenders. Brilliant.
You need to listen back to these.
I will.
Right. this is segment 11. If you are listening to these all in one go, you're crazy. They're going out as separate episodes.
Jesus, it's going to take you about 20 hours?
Yep. I'm comfortable diagnosing you that way as well, even though it's incredibly inappropriate considering this is all for Mind. Well, actually, it's all to satisfy our egos, if we're really honest.
Mind sent us a certificate. And thank you very much to those of you that helped us raise, £734, I think we raised. At the point we were recording this, and Mine did send us a certificate. And on that certificate, they bestowed upon us the right to diagnose people with moderate mental health conditions.
Good. So crazy counts.
Yeah. So we can do mental health triage or first aid.
Cool. That's really good, because I have always kind of done that anyway.
So.
Unqualified.
You might be a bit autism in it.
I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, and I think
you might be bipolar.
Possibly.
No, I think you're just depressed.
You've just got depression, the unfashionable one.
I should have said to the guy assessing me for my autism, if I just said to him, look, I just really want an interesting diagnosis.
Yeah.
Maybe he would have. Anyway,
I'd like it if he diagnosed you with hobbitism.
He doesn't need to. It's obvious to anyone with a set of eyes to see.
What I like most about you is that you look like an amalgam of a hobbit and Peter Jackson.
Isn't that weird?
It is, yes.
So this is segment 11.
Do you think he had sex with any of those hobbits during the filming of either Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit?
They were all... I mean, maybe. They were all boys.
Do you think that's why he went back and made The Hobbit a free movie thing? Because he was banging a hobbit on the sly?
I don't know.
He wanted a Hobbit Strange so much that he stretched The Hobbit over three films, even though clearly it's...
He stretched The Hobbit over three films.
Yeah.
This is one of the weirder theories that has no basis in reality I've ever heard.
What?
This, your Peter Jackson theory.
No, he was definitely having sex with a hobbit and you're their love child. Because, you're a magical creature, so you aged really quickly.
So, anyway, the upshot of those last 2 or 3 minutes of conversation, listener, is you don't have to listen to these all one after the other. You can keep them in your podcatcher of choice and come back to them year after year, if you like. Yeah. Just keep listening to it. Whenever
you're feeling cheerful and you feel you need to bring yourself down a bit.
Come listen.
Yeah.
Come listen. We covered a lot in this segment.
Are we starting to get a bit balmy?
Maybe. We're just cycling through stuff really, really quickly.
Yeah.
So...
thinking that we've spoken about it for ages.
Yes. Yeah. It was you. Jane and Steve were still here. Okay. I was here. David was still trapped here. Jesse was here. I don't know if Mike was about.
Yeah, I think he was. Those of you who are doing Food Watch from previous segments, you'll know we haven't ordered food at this point.
At this point, still no food. But this is the first mention of what would eventually become, spoiler warning, what would eventually become the food that we ate. Pizzagate. I think we're on uncertain ground with Pizzagate. I think it's trademarked.
That's taken, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about late night takeaway Pizzagate?
Yeah, that helps.
No, it just makes it sound worse, doesn't it? Food. Let's call it Foodgate. Let's just call it that.
So, among other things, we talked about a lot in this segment. There was a lot of toilet talk centering around the Bristol stool chart.
Oh, it's an interesting chart.
Lots of poo stuff. Lots of stuff about bemoaning about chocolate bars.
Okay.
There was some discussion of how big chocolate bars are now.
Right.
Do you know, saying it like that, it sounds awful, but it's actually quite fun.
Good.
And informative. I think I learned stuff. I definitely learned stuff.
Good.
During the whole thing. We did a political segment on how dumb it is holding a referendum about anything that really matters.
Yes.
That was,
that's probably a load of, lefties talking about how stupid people are, I suspect.
Yep. And also, we talked at surprising length about how much better we as a species are than ducks.
Oh, yeah, no,
A bunch of, privileged humans. Lording it over other species.
Achieved, Nick? What have they achieved?
Well, maybe we've held them down. You can't just say that because ducks have never achieved anything.
Yeah, but
that's because they're not. What you're saying is that there has never been a talented duck. When actually the whole system is rigged against them.
If we've successfully subjugated ducks for 8,000 years, then I think we're better than them.
Okay, that's what you think.
Yeah,
you're sticking to that.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. It's a bit problematic.
Is it?
We also discussed the worst of British pop culture entertainment.
Ducks matter.
Which is, the worst of British pop culture entertainment is most of British pop culture entertainment. But I think we mainly settled on the 80s.
Brilliant.
That's it. It made it sound like there was a lot less discussed. But there's a lot in there.
Good luck with this one.
Yeah. Good luck, listener.
We think they're funny. Who knows?
I think this is, we still kind of had it a bit together by this point.
Yeah. We'll see.
Ambush.
I used to have a mate whose brother's band name was Ambush, and there'd be more stories like that as we go through the night. Welcome back to the Twitter Comic 2016, Dave.
Yeah,
how you doing, buddy?
I'm hello. I'm here. I'm still at this end of the table. I'm still drawing. I'm alive.
And we're all alive at the same time, which is lovely, isn't it? I'm glad. Well done. Here's to being alive at the you just about.
All 8 billion of us, or whatever the fucking number is.
Yeah, aren't we all lucky? You're right, Jane.
It's cold.
Oh, dear.
Aren't we lucky to be alive at this point in time?
Yeah, even though it's cold.
And the economy's in free fall.
Yeah, the economy's always in free fall.
And the whole world seems to be, going further right all the time.
No, it's been righter. I mean, you think about those Romans, were a right bunch of fascists.
But they got the trains to run on time.
I did get the trains to run in time. There was...
Where? All in straight lines. I might not really understand history.
But it is a true fact that they know there was not one late train. I think I'm probably over labouring that point.
That's bullshit. Right. I've not seen a single on time train since I got here. Where are these on time trains?
We're not talking about ancient Rome.
Yeah. Oh, so ancient Rome. Okay, they had it, but they had it on point.
But where the fuck are we?
Is that the Mixler delay?
Is that what's happening?
I think so.
And this Twitter Comic 2016 is sponsored by red wine.
Okay, fair. I'll just shut up and say it on the side of the table.
No! We've got plenty of time, it's fine. I'd like to know more about your mishaps with trains in the UK.
We don't even need to have a conversation on trains in the UK, because it's just going to be a lot of bitterness and anger.
That's fair.
It's a pretty weak Sex Pistols song, in all fairness.
So where are we up to story-wise, Dave?
I'm on page 15. I'm quite happy to report that Thor's just twatted God.
Brilliant.
That's where we are. Yeah.
Brilliant.
It's all coming along. Things are happening. I'm drawing stuff. What I am quite pleased about is I'm on page 15, and we're just entering hour 15.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, and I'm halfway through page 15, which means I'm ahead.
Oh, wow.
That's nice. That's a nice feeling.
Does that mean you're going to take it easy, or are you trying to knock off early?
Maybe he's going to get a nap in.
It means if another page further on takes a long time, like one of the ones earlier did, I'm not in so much trouble.
That's fair enough.
We're getting into a difficult zone, though, in terms of people in the UK going to bed and trying to engage our American friends into the action. So being ahead's probably quite a good thing right now.
It is. But, I mean, if you are an American who's just waking up in America, you can donate money to...
or anywhere in the world. It doesn't just have to be America.
I want American money.
Just specifically America.
Yeah, everyone knows American money is better than other money. Because in all the films, they go, oh, no, I'll pay you in American dollars. Oh, thank you very much, American person, for your American dollars.
Yeah.
I feel so fortunate and not at all patronised.
And can you say making it rain only if you're making it rain with American dollars?
No, it's Benjamins or nothing. I mean, yes.
Although right. Well, you can say make it rain if you're like in the Chinese government, you're seeding clouds.
Or with our new £5 British £5 notes, because it doesn't matter anymore.
No, you can say
Canada has had those notes for ages.
Says it's Australia. So,
Australia as well, yeah.
The euros have been plastic for how long, right? So,
but it's still monopoly money to us at the moment, so.
Mm. And you gotta get over it, though.
I know, we really do. We won't. I've got one in my wallet now, which I just won't spend, because I'm like, it's all new.
Yeah, I've got one, and I'm not really very keen on letting it go now. I don't want to give it to charity either, I just want it for me.
Oh, yeah, that was just a Facebook thing, wasn't it? I mean,
I want it for my own.
I want to give more than £5 to charity.
Oh, I see, yeah. So if it had been a new, like, 100, oh, yeah, because you're flashy.
No, I'm just saying, it seems like he's restricting it to £5.
I know, but if everyone gave £5, that would be £5 more than...
So what you're learning, listeners, is we're all very tired. People are quite tetchy, a lot of sniping going on. It's great. It's like...
It's the We Have Issues account tweeting from the toilet.
Oh, are you kidding me? He is not, is he?
No, he's not. I'm doing it. Oh. Okay, good. I was really worried. Because that's a long poo, that's all I'm saying.
I downloaded a theme shit. No, not really.
I do some of my best tweeting from the toilet.
Yeah, no, me too.
I do my best pooping from the toilet.
Me too.
Where do we all stand on the squatty spots? The squatty potty.
Are you talking about that? I thought that idea had gone.
What?
No. Squatty potty. The squatty potty is a footstool that you put by your toilet basin. So when you're sat down and having a poo, it elevates your knees, so you're in the optimum position for release of material.
Who thought of this?
Well, apparently a unicorn did some science. And apparently
a unicorn?
Yeah. Okay. And there's... Because on the advert, they demonstrated by a unicorn pooping, rainbow poop, to show how easy the unicorn can poop.
Yeah, okay.
Using a squatty potty. But apparently they're like... Because the way your colon works, it straightens everything up.
Okay.
Yeah?
I use one at work. Not for myself.
All right.
It does seem quite effective.
Yeah, I use... My daughter's got like a little plastic stool that she used to use to stand up to brush her teeth at the sink. I use that, and I definitely notice a more positive movement when having my knees elevated.
Okay.
Well, that's where I stand on the squatty potty anyway.
Well, you're not really meant to stand on it, are you?
Yeah.
I mean, you do put your feet on it, but...
No, my daughter's footstool's fine. It's designed by IKEA for standing as well, so it's multi-purpose. So in many ways, I've kind of I've outsmarted the makers of Squatty Potty by getting the benefits of their product without actually having to buy it.
Okay. I don't know if the one we use at work is actually a branded Squatty Potty. I've never heard that term before, but we have. But I do use like a platform for. Yeah. But again, it's not for me.
Once they've given the concept away of just raising your legs, though, I mean, they've kind of blown their profit making opportunity, haven't they?
Yeah, what they should have branded it as, like the secret silky poo device that you're not allowed to talk about. You know, a bit like, sort of sell it a bit like Fight Club. So when you've got
Shite Club.
Hey, well, that was quick. Good.
Yeah, so when you've got one, you're not allowed to talk about it.
What they should have done is they should have made, like, ritualized it much more. Made like so you buy this device and you have to put a special hat on that has a spinny thing. Like, hold something and put your feet up, and they don't tell you which bit of it is that works.
Even though they should have done some like smart tech in it, so like every time you take a healthy poo, it tweets, "I've just had a healthy poo with my Squatty Potty."
But how would it know it was a healthy poo?
Yeah,
because you've got your knees up.
Yeah, but
that doesn't mean it's a healthy poo.
Oh my god, knees up, Mother Brown has a whole new explanation.
What's the poo chart that shows you how healthy
the Bristol stool chart?
Yeah, maybe it could do some sort of cross referencing of the stool and sort of give a mark on the Bristol stool chart.
That's so sophisticated poo, though.
It could be like the Squatty Potty could say, like, this guy's just passed one of them really difficult nutty jobs. But really easily, thanks to the Squatty Potty.
Well, you're poorly, though.
Well, you probably wouldn't use it, would you? Because there's no real need.
Well, knowing you, you just would. Because it's part of your routine. I must do this.
There's a point outside work where we go and like have a smoke, so I go out and vape and so forth, and a few of us congregate out there. And someone or something had taken a really gnarly looking nutty poo in the corner down where we have a, and we all developed a relationship with it over the course of a couple of weeks. We were really sad when one morning we came back and something or someone had destroyed it, and we felt really bereft that someone had broken up our little pet poo.
Oh,
did you name it?
Well, we called it Mr. Hanky, which isn't very original, but you know, we all enjoyed walking up to the smoking point going, "Howdy ho!" It was a lot of fun. We're all very mature, very grown up.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah. I don't really know how to respond to that.
No comment.
I can say I've never had that connection with.
Well, more about before.
I don't think
I ever will, though.
You sound pretty sure that this was a human.
We think it probably was, yeah.
Okay.
You think or you know?
Well, no, we didn't see it. Can you ever really be sure? We didn't see it delivered. But we're kind of, we speculated on the sort of person that might have done it. And
don't look at me.
Why?
I look at you because which you're most likely to do it.
Sounds a lot more judgmental than we really were. I think ultimately we didn't care. We just were happy that we had a new friend.
You know, that's fair.
To be fair, they're all engineers. There's only so much I can talk to them about, to be honest with you. So if I can bond over a poo, I'll bond over a poo. It's fine. I should have got myself a drink of water before we sat down and did this segment, really. I've drunk too much coffee and I'm a bit. Oh, you're right. That wasn't really a. But then I saw you move and I thought, well, maybe I'm going to get one. Oh, I might be lucky.
Just use them as much as you can.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Throughout the night, that's Mike. Jesse's offering me Mike to use.
Yes,
that's good. We've lost the ability to. Have we lost the ability to scan now?
Yeah, kind of.
So none of us know how to use the scanner.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much the same sort of idea I was trying to convey. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the general sort of yes was what I was trying to sort of get over to you, yeah.
Welcome to Uncomfortable Pause Podcast.
We normally edit these out, don't we? Or is that Max Barnard? I can't remember.
We don't normally have them.
He's not been here. Hi, Max. If you're not going to be up now, are you? I mean, you've got a life to lead, mate. We understand. But thank you if you are still listening. We appreciate it. How was your trip to the toilet, Nick?
You mean the shit I took? It was good. I feel very relaxed.
What number would you say it was on the Bristol Tour?
I don't really know the Bristol Tour.
Hold on.
I tend to go by how many flushes.
It runs from 1 to 7.
I didn't look at it, James.
Show me pictures. And 7 being... 1 is, like, completely hard. I think it's this order. 1 is, like, really, really hard. And then 7 is, I think, described as gravy.
What would be... I didn't... Showing me pictures isn't going to help. Because I didn't look at it. And it's dark in that bit of your bathroom anyway.
Which one of these did it feel like?
It didn't really feel anything like those. I think I might be a an atypical shitter.
Number 7 then. Okay.
No, number 7. Which was number 7?
Entirely gravy. Yellow liquid.
No, it wasn't that. You're an idiot.
Okay.
It was comfortable, but I don't know if that was that I was ready for it.
That scanner's far too bright, isn't it? It's not friends to your.
There is some post-processing required, I think.
Yeah. Oh! Sorry, I'm just looking through the Twitter comic, because it's very good. This is Twitter Comic Live 2016, isn't it? I don't know.
Strictly speaking, Twitter Comic Live.
Do you want the originals to have a look at?
Yeah, go on.
It's always the option, do you know? Like, they are that's in the room.
Or have a flip through them. Go on, Nick, off you go.
What?
I'm reading off you.
Phil, let's vamp.
I don't understand. So you want me to talk now?
Yeah, I'm having a little read off you. Go.
Right, okay. I don't, but I can't just switch it on.
Can't you? No, do you want me to give you a topic?
Go on, give me a topic. You're going to have to stop for just 1 second looking at the thing if you're going to give me a topic.
Yeah,
you can't get distracted from giving me something to fill for you being distracted. This is, it's recursive.
I want to think of a...
Recursive distraction. It doesn't make any sense. I'm right. Away from the mic as well.
The
I'm moving nearer the mic. Both of them.
How about this for a topic? If obesity is such a problem now, then how comes the sweets were bigger when we were little?
That's a fair question.
But they weren't bigger when we were little. We were little.
No, they were. They blatantly were. Yeah, they were.
Were they?
Yeah, there's a chocolate shortage, mate.
Yorkie used to be 100 grams. A Yorkie bar used to be 100 grams. That was one of the big deals. Yorkie bar was like a big chocolate bar. And now it's like, what? Not even 45 grams.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Over 50% of it has been...
Yeah.
Wow.
This isn't...
I think there are two reasons for that. Number one,
the chocolate shortage.
There is a chocolate shortage, there is a cocoa shortage, and there is a general move to use less chocolate in the product, and so making them smaller is a great way of being able to economise your use of chocolate and maximise your yield, what you sell.
When you say 100 grams in a Yorkie bar, do you mean like just a normal size Yorkie?
Absolutely. A normal Yorkie bar was like 100 grams. Yeah, because now like Yorkie bars are like 5 chunks, and there used to be
7.
Y-O-R-K-I-E. There used to be at least 6. Because they had the letter on each chunk.
Do you think... So they removed the... They stopped writing on it so they could try and sneak this past us?
I think there's going to be a point where it's like Y-R-K-E and then they'll just get away with doing 4 chunks in a chocolate bar.
So texting culture is really working in their favour. Steve...
100 grams, though.
No, I'm not shaming you. Check the Wikipedia, which is obviously true. But yeah, they used to be... Like, a standard Yorkie bar was 100 grams.
You sound really confident in these facts that you're telling us.
We're post-fact, Nick.
But are you sure you're not maybe just being a bit negative? Are you sure you're not being a bit of a Ramona?
Is that nigging? Is that what nigging is?
No, I think I just feel like we're all in it together now.
Yeah.
And maybe you should stop, like, confusing people with this propaganda about Yorkies. Maybe we should just be happier with the size of our chocolate. Maybe we shouldn't be thinking about what it used to be like. Maybe we should be thinking about what it's going to be like in the future.
There's a really convenient narrative, though, in by conserving the amount of chocolate you use per bar, you can also say that it's actually a more healthy snack.
Right.
That's kind of the PR aspect of it.
So they could charge you more because it's a health food.
Oh, don't put ideas into their head.
Is it organic? This sounds...
It's orgasmic.
Well, I mean, the cocoa bean is a, like, organic material.
I'm getting a nod
material.
From Dave, that's good enough for me.
This sounds a lot like the climate change myth to me.
I'm just, at the moment, I'm just caught up in trying to work out something where the punchline can be Bramona flowers.
Okay, we can workshop
something
that.
Something about that's... Europe is our seven evil exes. I don't know. Anyway.
Are we really running out of cocoa? That seems like...
Yeah,
is there a study?
Is it just a bad crop?
Do we not just grow it?
Was it a bad crop?
There's more people than there is cocoa.
Mm.
But can't we just grow more?
That's why we have to colonise Mars.
I mean, we're too busy getting, like, India and Indonesia hooked on cocoa right now. So it gets really, like, thinned out.
Because there's
loads of people
sugar.
In those places.
I know, right?
Well, they can't all have chocolate,
They're taking away our British chocolate that we obviously grow here and have not imported from anywhere.
Not for long.
I think if they called another EU referendum tomorrow, I know what I'd vote.
The
opposite of what I voted now. It sounds like
because you want to be on the winning team.
We should be keeping our cocoa for ourselves.
I should cocoa.
It seems
we
to
don't
me.
Grow any cocoa? Do we? Do we? No, we don't.
No, we don't.
I just have to check. I don't know. Who knows what they're doing down that Eden project?
We can barely muster wheat and strawberries. How could we even grow something
amazing.
That we don't even grow here?
I think you harvest it. I'm not sure what mustering even is in the farming process.
What?
That's the best I can... Wordplay. That's the best I can manage with wordplay.
Oh.
Misunderstanding what someone said, James. It's one of my key comedy tactics. You've been podcasting with me for ages. You must have been aware of my weaknesses by now.
Oh... All right,
mustering killed it. I'm sorry, Steve. You're doing really well as well.
No, I don't think
How
I am.
How are we doing a mustard?
No, and then Jane said
I
the
think
Eden
I'm being
project
serious
thing.
And boring. I'm not talking about cocks.
I think that serious and boring is really interesting, actually.
But
I love you.
But Nick, will you answer the question? Why are we fatter now if the chocolate is smaller?
I don't think we all are,
it's
James.
Not
I think
that we're
it's just you and me.
It's not that we're fatter.
Maybe we just look bigger because the chocolate bars are smaller.
Exactly.
I'm definitely fatter than I was when I was a kid.
We just look bigger because the chocolate bars are smaller.
No, she's right.
That's what it is.
No, we went past that
James,
some time ago.
James, is the media's just making you feel like you're fat?
But
the media keeps telling you you've got diabetes, and then the next month it's telling you you don't have diabetes anymore. It's very confusing.
You're conflating doctors and the media.
Aren't they all part of the same conspiracy?
Did a media tell you that you're definitely not autistic?
The media told me I had asthma, and I've used my inhaler like 3 times.
The sun,
and it's always when I'm anxious about stuff that is why I went for the autism thing. And so I'm really confused at this point. I don't know.
Wait a minute. So you're saying you might not? It might be that you're not autistic. You're asthmatic.
No, the doctors told me I had asthma.
Right. Okay.
And they gave me a... Because apparently the test for asthma is like a hard and fast objective test. And you breathe into a thing, and if you can't...
Flow meter, yeah.
Can't do the thing, then you've definitely got asthma.
Is it peak meter?
And then I went to my new doctor, and the lady got me to do the test again. And she said, oh no, the results, they must have been measuring it completely wrong when you did it last time. That's completely... I don't know why they did that. And she made a big fuss about how the previous people had clearly done it wrong. So I said to her... So do you mean I don't have asthma? Do I not have asthma? And she said, oh no, you've still got asthma. It's just you don't have as much asthma or something.
Maybe
I don't,
does that mean inhalers work?
I don't know. I don't really understand asthma. I think when you have it, when you get given it as a kid, then you get to know more about it. I'm too old to really learn.
Not all of us are lucky
asthma.
Enough to be visited by the asthma fairy.
I think my brain isn't as plastic as it used to be. If every condition people tell me I have now, there's no way I'm going to learn the rules.
No, your brain so definitely isn't as plastic.
No.
Definitely not.
I don't know what this is. It seems like you're being mean to me, but I'm
like
not sure.
Some kind of asthmatic bris where you get the asthma. Something with the
Moil.
Sinuses or... Yeah.
Well,
the throat.
It's funny you should mention that because I did have surgery on my nose a little while ago and they did slice a bit of it out. Apparently, I discovered when I was about 38 8 that I had a deviated septum that hadn't ever caused me a problem before. But so they gave me an operation, and now I can't breathe properly most of the time. So I'm constantly sniffing. Well, no, I don't. I mean, I think that I probably couldn't breathe properly before, but I didn't know that because my septum was deviated.
But you can breathe properly now.
I mean, like, right at this moment, I seem to be doing okay.
Well, you're still alive,
right?
It
could stop at any second.
I like your ability to live in the moment, knowing what could happen.
Yeah. Well, it's the one thing you can be absolutely sure about, isn't it, James?
Okay, Pete suggests that one Yorkie used to be enough, but nowadays he has to be 7 to get any sort of pleasure.
So they must be smaller.
Yeah, they must be.
It's not that his capacity to experience pleasure has gone down.
No.
It's not that life is so fucking miserable you've got to have 7 Yorkies.
Life is pretty bleak.
It is.
They're practically fun size at this point.
Yeah, fun size. What a misnomer. Jesus Christ.
That's no fun.
That's misery size. Yeah. That's
fun
pittance.
Size is small, disappointment. Smaller than one chunk of a normal sized chocolate bar, isn't it? Like the little Dairy Milk fun size ones are smaller than a chunk of the Dairy Milk.
Those weird twin size. You know those weird ones you get, like the Snickers, and I think loads of the big bars do this, where you get like... It's two mini bars in one.
I think they call them duos.
Yeah,
duos.
Actually,
those are fucking farce, aren't they?
What?
Because the idea is that what the conceit, the lie is that you'll buy them and you'll eat one of them and maybe you'll share the other one with someone else or you'll save it till the next day or something.
But that's replaced the king size, right?
Yeah, so
duos have replaced the king size, and I'm not entirely sure. Like, in a duo, you're not getting two full-size bars. You're getting two smaller-size bars.
Yeah. They're about three-quarter size.
Mm.
What's the psychological... Why? What's the trick? There's clearly a trick, because I still end up eating the whole thing when I buy it. But now I feel worse, because I feel like I was meant to share that with someone, and I haven't.
Oh,
so maybe I'm a bad person.
I bought a...
I can vouch for this.
Boost duo and a... Whisper Duo, and I ate the Boost Duo, and I only ate one of the Whisper Duo and gave it all to Steve.
Oh, that's alright then, well done.
Out of four possible chocolate bars, Jane ate three.
Yeah, but there are only three.
I mean, if that's not restraint, I don't know what is.
That is not just good personness, good personhood, and good diet. That's also great maths.
Yeah.
Or math. I think North America's awake now and Canada and Mexico. So math.
Do you have to start speaking their language?
Yeah.
Maldi.
What about Colombia? Let's talk about Colombian
politics. I don't know anything about Colombia. They just had a referendum and it went wrong.
They do good pictures.
Colombia,
doesn't they? What? They have grey chocolate in Colombia, don't they?
Maybe.
Not chocolate, cocaine.
They're cocaine.
Are they in the EU?
Not anymore. So,
no, hang on a minute. There's a sport coming up. There might be a contender.
There's only a limited amount of spots. Have we given up our space?
I don't know.
They had a referendum a couple of weeks ago. They had a referendum on whether they wanted to stop being at war with the FARC rebels, who've been a terrorist group in the country for like 30 plus years. And they decided no, they don't want to have peace with the FARC rebels, because I think they voted because someone didn't put their pension up.
Are all of the politicians wandering around now saying "fucks it" means "fucks it"?
That's exactly what they're saying.
Soft
fucks it or
has Google done the recursive search result for Brexit as they've done for recursion?
I don't know, but that is my favourite.
It fucking should.
That is my favourite Google result ever. I don't know very much about that Colombian thing.
No, nor do I. I've given you all the data I have on that.
That's an even more dumb thing to have a referendum about. Because it could have gone either. It couldn't have gone either way if you looked at things. But at least you could vaguely, if you didn't read the news or spend any time around people, you could maybe think that the Brexit thing might have come out differently if it went to a referendum. But you can't ask civilians in a brutal like in a situation where there's been a civil war. You can't ask them to think objectively about.
Well, as Tony Blair, bro, you don't ask citizens about how they feel about a war, full stop, no matter how against it they are.
That's one of my least favourite things at work or anywhere else, when someone asks you your opinion, as if your opinion counts, to make you feel like your opinion counts, and does what they were going to do anyway.
Oh, there's nothing I like better than the illusion of inclusiveness.
I'd rather just be a puppet.
Yeah, I guess. What sort of puppet? If you could be any sort of puppet, Nick, what sort of puppet would you be?
Well, previously I would have said a Jim Henson puppet, but that's become such a broad church at this point anyway. I could mean Gelfling, or I could mean Kermit.
True.
Or Miss Piggy. I want to be inclusive.
Yeah.
But no, I still think maybe a Muppet.
Okay.
What I like, so Muppets are just any of those felt puppets, aren't they? All of the Sesame Street puppets are Muppets, regardless of the technique.
No, I think
used.
They're Muppets,
A Muppet is specifically a Jim Henson Workshop puppet. That's all.
But the Gelflings aren't Muppets, though, are they?
Yeah, they are, because they're Jim Henson
is that what
Workshop
it,
puppets.
Oh, I'm learning stuff.
I think.
No, I agree with Dave's definition, but then I like the Please People.
The bigger the person, the more it counts.
Yeah, so
I'm only a tiny person, that's true.
Yeah, I find it easier to disagree with you because of the paradigm between us.
Yeah, we represent a dichotomy of sorts. Yeah. Don't really know what dichotomy means, Dan Harmon says it all the time, and I always really like it when he says it.
It sounds like a procedure.
Yeah, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, on Princess Di, right? Yeah, after she was injured in the crash, they had to perform a dichotomy.
Yeah, an emergency dichotomy.
I'm so glad you put that punchline on there. Because I'm sure it was going somewhere much worse.
Oh, good. Would you care to elaborate?
No.
No, you should. I mean, we're past midnight now, so let's go.
Yeah, we can say anything. We could even... No, we can't say that word, can we, Nick? Even though you've called me it twice today.
But only because you deserved it.
Yeah, that is true.
We use it all the time. We just don't use it on record, because then we could end up saying... If there's no boundary, we could end up saying anything. Mm. I think we've got quite a lot of restraint. So
for all the things we could say or imply, that one four-letter word is the worst thing that we could possibly do.
Well, no, it's just good to have. It's good to have something to try and steer away from, so that I don't know. I think we'd say fuck an awful lot more if we could also say the C-word.
Wait, Jesse, I want to ask him whether he thinks. Oh, right, okay. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're probably just as well, actually. Mm. He's quite drunk. I don't know if you noticed.
I didn't. I thought he was just connected.
They get like that, you know.
That's not fair. We can't just. Is this your tactic to make sure nobody else passes out the second someone
talk about
out?
Them?
Or stop.
Yeah. Stop pulling the characters back. Do you know, I hate to do this. First time I've done it while the mic's open, but I need to go for a wee. And you guys can.
You should take the mic with you. Let's hear it.
No!
Come on, Mike. Let's go.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
Top tinkle.
I don't.
We should do it. We need a theme tune.
I don't. Shit. I don't know what to do now because James is really holding this all together.
Yeah, he's going to be holding something very shortly.
Not much.
And we're not all holding it together.
I don't know. Basically, sit down.
It's the what? Oh, he's going to have a luxury wee.
I feel
should we talk about luxury wees?
Yeah, because I have. I feel a bit. I feel like my inability to do any other sort of wee might be holding my son back a little bit. Some of the other NCT boys from our NCT group are weeing standing up. They can just, if they're in the garden, they're just happy to take themselves off and wee on their dad's tomato plants.
Is NCT standing for newly childed thetan?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
That's exactly what it stands for. How did you know that, though? I thought only people who went to them got to know that.
Oh, I saw a documentary.
Right, okay. Mm. That wasn't one of the ones that we're supposed to be boycotting.
I didn't think that was what going clear meant. I didn't think it had anything to do with weeing.
But
it means you're really well hydrated. So
that's true.
Or diabetic.
But
that was a quick wee. James is back.
I'm diabetic.
But Noah is potty trained, but I don't think he really can conceptualise weeing standing up yet because he's never seen it happening. Yeah, he probably has by now.
Then,
is it
I guess I don't know when the boundary comes with a young child, whether they know which end it's going to come out of. So you're better off just sitting them down.
I think so. Less mess. We don't have any tomato plants that he could wee on, so You don't want him just going and weeing in the corner like an animal.
Well, yeah, bathroom's usually better than...
Is wee good for tomato plants?
I don't know. All I know is that one of the other NCT babies goes and wees on his dad's to tomato plants in the back
garden. Why?
I think it amuses him.
I enjoy that it was all of the other NCT babies, and now it's actually it's just one.
Well, so we were at his birthday party, and he took himself off, and the minute any other child in approximately the same age group does something more advanced than your child, you have to assume that all of them are doing it, and your child is somehow... That's just the way being a parent works. You'd understand
if you're a parent. How'd you get involved in that?
Congratulations! I think that's the first time I've heard you use that.
It was
only a matter of time.
It was a joke, I think. I mean, you have to be a pretty specific sort of parent to always assume that your child is somehow not as good as all of the other children.
Oh, right.
That's not what I mean. I don't mean not as good. I think he's much better than other children, almost all other children. But in this particular era, I feel like we've held him back a little bit by me not weeing standing up.
Does
I can't wee standing up.
Does it matter?
Well, probably not. But it doesn't really matter if he, like... does well at school or any of that stuff. Like,
I much prefer the sit down wee these days.
I've never really been much good at the standing up wee, and as I get older it just seems more messy.
I don't know, you're closer to the bowl than a lot of us.
You'd think that would count for something, but no, apparently not. I'm having to question my motivations about lots of things recently though, and so I always thought the reason I didn't like urinals was because they seem like a barbaric thing to put men through. You know, they're just one of the many ways that this society penalises men. And it doesn't seem like a fair cultural thing to make men have to deal with. And I always thought that was why I didn't like them. But now sometimes when I'm in a cubicle to save time, I will have a wee standing up, and I always regret it, always makes a mess, always have to, I'm down on the floor,
with
some
messy
tissue paper.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure at this point, I'm not sure if the reason I'm no good at it is because I never did it before, or if at some point I was no good at it once at a urinal in front of other people, and so I think this is one thing I never really intended to share with people.
So you started a sentence within a sentence, and you started saying about when you... that you have to sort of get down the floor and clean up with toilet paper. And then you said, started to say, I'm not sure if... I thought you were going to say, and you're not sure if it's all your own wee.
Well, no, I always check that. I mean, God, you've always got to check a cubicle when you go in there. I'm not a monster.
No, I meant when you're...
I'm still terrified of
floor.
Other people's wee.
There's other people that won't clean up after themselves.
There's a...
I can't relate to any of this, by the way. It's just like it's one way or... the highway.
Is our ladies' toilets, our public ladies' toilets, actually as disgusting as people tell us they are, or is that just something that women tell men to try and make men feel better about men's toilets?
They are pretty gross. All public toilets are disgusting. I don't think it matters about gender.
Yeah, no,
if you
you're
don't
right.
shit properly, you don't shit properly.
Yeah.
Hey, she's got a point.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I think part of this probably comes back to that thing about how...
Well, there
about...
is one thing that you get that men don't get, and that hover. So yeah. When women don't want to sit on a toilet seat to wee, and they hover, and then you get wee everywhere.
That's what
you
I was going
to... guys who go in and pee all over the seat.
But I think they just...
Yeah, I've never got that.
They just do that to be dicks, though, don't they? Mm-hmm. Or because they don't care. Whereas I think that, I was just going to say, that's like the Chucky thing from earlier on. That like people are insecure about sitting on a toilet other people have sat on, so they hover, and then they make the problem worse because they just piss all over the seat.
Well, it's because you can get AIDS from a toilet seat. Everyone knows
also,
that.
Some guys don't want to touch the seat to lift it up.
Oh, come on.
No, I use my foot. That's what your foot's for.
Everything is negated if you follow the simple rule that, like, you touch anything, you do anything you need to do, and the last thing you do before you leave that room is you wash your fucking hands.
Yes.
Yeah.
But no, that if you use your foot, you're also just making sure there's no, like, great big centipede thing that's going to come crawling out of the toilet or anything.
I make a point of putting my shoes back on before I go to the toilet.
Because
I sit at my desk.
I always wash my feet in the bowl before I go to the toilet.
That was the one thing it recurred to me was a factor.
Well, as a lady, when you have to sit down to go to the toilet, I mean, if something crawls out from underneath the toilet, you're stuffed, aren't you? So,
what? Well, I mean, that is true.
You need to check.
Probably literally, depending on the size of the
toilet. It's a public toilet. And people can put things on toilet seats. My mum has always taught me to check toilet seats. Yeah. Yeah, people will put things on toilet seats and stuff.
So, was I the only person listening that heard about the giant centipede?
No, I heard. I just said the first thing I've said all day that I was genuinely proud of, and I think only Steve heard it, which is probably how it should be.
This is what, 100-year-old pedos underneath the toilet?
Yeah. It waited so long, I'm like, legal now. Yeah, no, well, you know what I mean. I didn't want to say spiders, I'm not scared of spiders. I think a centipede crawling on you while you're going to the toilet would be really horrible. They are quite small, so I could sort it away. Silverfish don't bother me. Okay. It's more like horrible things.
YouTuber?
Man-made things. YouTuber.
PewDiePie!
God, that guy off the X-Files.
Which guy?
The bendy guy. That was his name, the bendy long man.
Bendy long man.
I think that's a... That's a Mighty Boost joke, actually. No, but the guy, Wim Wenders. No, that wasn't his name.
Wim Wenders.
I thought he meant David Duchovny, to be honest.
Tombs.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
I wanted to say
Tombs. I think it is, whatever it is, yeah.
Which one was Wim Wenders?
Wim Wenders directed Wings of Desire.
Yeah. Oh, that's the film that City of Angels was based on.
Yes,
but he directed it from inside an air vent.
I think if Tombs' name was Wim Wenders, that would make more sense because he kind of wins through the
Wendy house.
Is this good?
I just finished page 15.
Whey!
So I'm 20 minutes ahead.
Ooh.
Could you fill us in on the story at this point then?
No.
Thanks, Dave.
Right, okay, well, I'll do my best. All right, so I only fucking drew it.
Just for the benefit of our abundance of listeners.
So there's a bunch of space Vikings, right? Astro Vikings. They're flying through space and they're going to get a dragon sun, kill it and turn it into a dragon nova because that's booty. And that seemed like a really good idea about 12 hours ago when Peter Hammerson and Timothy Swan and Maxi Barnard were talking about it on Twitter. I've sort of vaguely forgotten what the point was, but I'm sure I'll find it again. But so anyway, they were going to do that, and then God turned up with three heads and a flaming mace. And I then had to think about why God was there. Ian Sharman had a suggestion that seemed like far too much work, so I decided
you do a lot of comics with him. Does that happen a lot?
Yes.
Right.
So I decided that God was there to defend the dragon sun, because God made everything or something. So
allegedly,
apparently. So they have to have a fight with God. And I was quite proud to have written the line, "All right, gang, let's give God a kicking." So then God set the tiny horde upon them, which was made of tiny angry lizards, as requested by Jay Edidin. Lots of tiny horses, because several people asked for horses, including Ian Sharman.
Knowing that you love drawing horses.
Well, no, I suspect not knowing that. I suspect that was specifically...
Jokes on them.
Yeah, it's my secret weapon as a cartoonist. I'm the one who likes drawing horses. And badgers, which are also requested by Ian Sharman. So in order to defend against the tiny horde, the leader of the Astro Vikings pulled out a pair of magical sunglasses, as requested by... who do you think would request sunglasses?
Jay Edidin.
Correct. The mystical shades of Asgard, and invoking the power of them to summon the mighty cat warriors of Thor, who destroyed the tiny horde. But then God didn't like that, so he destroyed the cat warriors. Mm. So then Thor turned up because he don't like that. So then Thor clumped God. He disappeared in a puff of smoke. said, the false god is vanquished. Go in peace, Astro Vikings. The leader of the Astro Vikings turns to him and goes, cheers, Thor, and that's where we are.
Cool. Where are we going next?
It's... I was thinking about possibly having a poo because I don't know if that's just the power of suggestion.
It's kind of impressive.
It's the power of digestion.
Don't forget to check the toilet seat.
I don't think I actually need to go now.
It's kind of impressive that these have all been completely random ideas that you've got from people. And somehow the story has ended up being about a Norse god killing the Judeo-Christian god. Which is interesting that that's where the story ended up completely by random.
It is,
because
that's kind
of your thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm not.
Well, not your whole thing. You've got a lot of things.
I don't actually have a problem with the Judeo-Christian god.
But you really like the Norse gods.
Funnily enough, yeah. I prefer Odin, to be honest, over Thor. Thor's a bit of a dick, really.
Douche. Total douche.
He's like a jock god.
He pisses all over toilet seats.
He's a frat boy.
Yeah. Thor's the jock. Loki's a troll.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not a troll because, there are trolls in Norse mythology. There are actual trolls in Norse mythology, but he's like an internet. Loki would be really into men's rights, I reckon.
But just for the lols.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't really care about it.
Odin's a good bloke. Like, he's, got one eye, big app.
So disabled.
Yeah.
Handicapped.
We don't really use that word. But that seems disabled.
Did I say that first?
I think so. Yeah.
So I should have just trusted my instincts, but that nearly always gets me in trouble. The Tiny Horde. I have a question about the Tiny Horde.
Okay.
Is there a story reason why the tiny horses are the same size as the tiny lizards and the same size as the tiny badgers?
I misremembered the tweet from Ian Charman and thought he said that his horses that were in bottles were tiny, and I think that was because he said they had to be in bottles. So then in my head I was envisioning tiny horses. As looking back, I don't think he did request tiny horses. I think he just requested horses. I just made them small because I thought they were meant to be small, but actually I think that was just me.
Right.
So the short answer to that question is no.
That was your artistic take on horses at that time.
But as the storyteller, so you're not thinking these are all normal-sized animals that were all reduced by, 78% or something like that, because then the horses would be much bigger than the lizards.
No, they're all just tiny. Although the badgers are nearer to normal size, to be honest, in the way I've drawn them.
No, that's true.
They're bigger than everything else. I don't know why I did that.
I like the badgers.
Badgers are good.
They make it feel almost Ghibli-esque.
Okay, that's a good word. That's got percussiveness to it. Ghibli-esque.
Badgers are bigger than you remember them until you see them. You're like, whoa, badgers are really big.
What? They are. But, badgers are essentially European wolverines.
Yeah.
They're not really attractive squirrels, then, which is the sort of size I was picturing.
No, they're big.
They're bigger than your little dog.
Yeah.
I mean, people used to make them fight, didn't they, for entertainment?
Dog and badgers.
No, just badger on badger.
Oh, badger on badger.
Badger on badger, badger crying.
Badger on freaking mashed potato everywhere.
Excellent.
That's a British kids' TV reference.
Big cut.
Yeah, any Americans listening will not get that.
I don't think I quite got that. Would Canadians get it? Or Mexicans? Mexicans is okay, isn't it? Americans.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about people from Mexico, Mexicans is fine, I think.
That's what I was. Yeah. That's who I meant.
But then
I felt like I was missing out a whole bunch of other people.
Well, Central America is a bunch of other countries.
Yeah. South of Mexico. Mexico's
but
not really.
But were you specifically talking about
Central America?
So where's
the native
Mexico?
People of Mexico?
It's underneath America.
Central America starts underneath that.
Yeah, it's North America. Yeah, it's underneath the United States of America.
It's above the equator.
How fucking rude is that? The one country on a continent decided to co-opt the name of that continent for the name of the country. Be like if we called ourselves Great Europe.
Australia kind of slanted things in their own favour, didn't they?
Yeah.
Who?
Australia.
Yeah.
Well, we did that.
Yeah, but I mean, they're Australian now. It's like the Americans.
Yeah, but it's
European originally. Yeah, whatever that means anymore.
Yeah, but the Americans are less directly our fault, whereas Australia is pretty much on the nose our fault.
Yeah, no, that's true. But why is... So there's no South... There's Central America.
Yep.
So where's South America?
Underneath that.
Yeah, south of the equator. So
you've got North America.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the North American continent, mm-hmm. which is like Canada at the top of it, with uh-huh. a bit of Alaska,
well, Alaska
to one side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got United States in the middle, a bit big. And then underneath that, you've got Mexico. And then underneath that, you've got the bit where North America meets South America, the continents. And that bit where they come together is called Central America. And then
that
underneath
makes sense,
that,
actually. Yeah. And then under that South
America.
You've
got Panama in there, haven't you?
You've got lots of places.
Yeah.
Where the canal's from. And
yeah.
the cigars.
Yeah.
It
feels... It seems like you'd probably think I was doing a bit, but my geography really is this bad.
What?
My geography really is this bad. I'm not doing a bit.
No,
just in case anyone was wondering.
By the way, just to clear things up, Ian Sharman says the horses wouldn't fit in bowl tools if they weren't tiny. So the size was implied by the tweet.
There we go.
He's such a writer. He's so good with words. That makes sense.
I so didn't think writer was the word that was coming.
That's efficiency, though, isn't it? He didn't need to say the horses were small.
No.
Because the bottle... And he would assume you didn't... He'd assume you were picturing a normal-sized bottle rather than a gigantic bottle that's big enough for a horse.
If only he was so efficient when writing dialogue for Spacescape.
What was that?
Space escape. Okay. I'm looking forward to the bit where they escape, though. That's going to be good. From space.
I don't even know now. What's going on?
Do you know, it just occurred to me because we talked about something happening. And the point where I said, "Oh, I'm going to have to go to the toilet now," and I actually did go to the toilet. There's a curveball for you, listener.
So, what do you want to talk about now, James?
Let's see. What topic? Probably done with you. We did space last night.
We did poo.
That. Don't want to do that. Yeah, we've done poo. We've done poo to death.
I'd be quite really intrigued to see what any special guest would think of the Euro since that's all happened now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, I reckon they'd be fascinated on the topic.
Okay.
It's a nice try.
It will happen when it happens.
Yeah,
interesting. You can't force certain things. It's like we're talking about poo again.
9 hours to go, everybody.
That's plenty of time for him to show up.
And that first 9 hours flew by.
Flew.
It did actually. It feels like
it was a long time ago.
Yeah, no, it really does.
But it was flying the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't mean to bring the show crashing down around our ears. Tell you what, why don't I go to my random content generator and I'll come up with something for us to talk about.
Is this like that idea thing? See, he's good at theme tunes. Why doesn't he do that?
That was really good. Listener, I just shrugged in response to Nick.
That's helpful, thanks.
Well, so what about the dinosaur they found that quacks?
What?
It seems unlikely. Are you sure it wasn't just a really old duck?
Yeah. Scientists have found a dinosaur that quacks.
You're going to have to expand on that a little bit, James.
I'm prepared to, but I quite like the ridiculousness of my opening statement. I thought we could riff on that for a little bit.
Well, yeah, but we can't.
It sounds like a nice idea. Do you follow that Twitter account, Kids Write Jokes?
No.
It sounds like the beginning of one of their jokes.
Yes, and... Sorry, no. Dave.
Actually, a lot of their jokes, that's the whole... That sounds like the whole of it. Yes. But you're going to have to.
So I was listening to
tell us more.
It's on the BBC News website, but I was listening to Inside Science with Adam Rutherford on BBC Radio 4, which I think is worth the licence fee on its own, frankly. And they were
talking. Where did you go all Ray Winston then?
Bet now.
Right.
They
okay.
were they were talking about this pterodactyl they found, and they've recreated the soft palate.
Right.
And they reckon it sounded like a duck. So they reckon that the period that dinosaur lived, they were all sat around quacking. So, like, the prehistoric dinosaur times all sound like...
all the time.
What did we think pterodactyl sounded like, thinking about
it? Sort of like shrieks, wasn't it? You know, when you see them in cartoons, like that. Yes! But really, it was...
It makes sense they'd crack.
Yeah, they're like birds and they've got beaks.
Yeah.
No, I thought they went like all lizard, like, you know, like a great lizard. Like,
I'm picturing a really specific 80s cartoon sound effect that I don't think I could really.
I think it's
how a lizard goes.
Yeah. I know.
I mean,
do lizards even make noise?
You had a perfectly good justification by saying like an eagle, like a bird of prey. Yeah. No, you went with lizard. Yeah. Like geckos, they run up to you.
Lizards actually kind of go.
I was in a bar with an iguana once, and it was all night. It was
somebody kept going at it, so it learned how to do it back at people.
Such bullshit! Don't say I was in a bar with an iguana. You were sat near an iguana in a bar, and the iguana seemed way more interesting than any of the other shit that was going on with you at that particular point in time. So you have adapted this story to make it sound like you were the one having all of the conversations you overheard the iguana having, when actually that iguana would never have fucking talked to you in a million years.
Yeah, that is kind of how it played out. Yeah.
So can we just be a bit more honest with ourselves? At this point, can we not?
So the lady who was talking about the squawking lizard...
Was she talking to you, or was she talking to someone else?
She was talking to scientist Adam Rutherford.
Right, okay.
Who's the presenter of the show I was talking about. And they were saying, yeah, we've made 3D models of the... Because she said, yeah, because she was picking up from a point where we'd interrupted them earlier. She was like, yeah, anyway... We've made these 3D models of the soft palate, so we know exactly what it sounded like. And he's like, okay, and she said, yeah, and when we've recorded them, we'll let you have them. So the whole piece is about how this dinosaur sounded, and you're giving all the chat about how you've made it in a 3D printer. Oh, not ready to let you hear it just yet. We've got to do special science on it before you can hear it.
So the ducks make
that.
It's like they're withdrawing the truth from us. They're keeping it from us.
Well, it's more the why. Wait, come back and do the piece in 2 weeks.
Like, I bet they need a bit more funding before they can afford to do that. So that's them gone.
Science is meant to be like a patient discipline, isn't it? You know, you don't force things.
It's not how the funding works. I think they have to get. It has to be sexy, or else they won't get the extra funding.
They have to spend all that good European money before it goes away, don't they?
Is the assumption that... Yeah, you see, this is going to sound like I'm doing a bit as well, but I'm really not. Is the assumption that ducks make the noise they make because that's literally the only noise they can make? Or is that not just... Could they not choose to make a different noise if they wanted?
You think that a duck quacks because that's an act of free will? Well,
that's a whole range of it. Like, a duck doesn't make the same noise if it's in pain, does it? I'm assuming.
Well, it'd still have a quacky quality.
No, if a duck breaks its legs, fucking hell!
But it's a big range of noises.
They do that honking noise, don't they, as well?
No, that's geese.
No, ducks make that honking noise as well.
Only when they're doing impressions of geese.
But like, before we developed language, we would have mainly grunted and squawked, but then we decided we did develop language and. I feel like...
We did, didn't we? We did, that's what we did. I think what you're saying, Nick, is we're better than ducks. And I agree.
Well, I don't know if you see language as a positive development. Maybe, but I'm not convinced.
Current evidence.
I don't know. How many ducks do you see doing 24-hour comics, Dave?
Exactly.
Yeah, stupid.
But that's not... He's not doing that with his voice.
Well, we're doing a podcast too, so we kind of is.
Yeah.
His voice has been part of it.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's also giving vent to his artistic voice through the art he's creating. So, in a way, he is using his voice.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure this comic isn't just one fucking long quack.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Dave. That's exactly my point.
I quite like the idea that when we ain't about, ducks are just sort of like la 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 la.
Yes. Fucking prick.
It's been long enough since people actually enjoyed the Far Side that we can stop.
working on these original ideas again.
That's it. Fuck off and bring us some more bread.
Why do they sound like the Queen?
Because they're posh.
I don't know if they are posh.
Maybe they secretly are. Maybe some the Dutch are all like fucking Jamie Oliver, aren't they? They're like, or Farage.
Just on pretending.
Political you want to be. Yeah, like when we're around, they're all, like Sid fucking James. But when we're not there,
Brexit means Brexit.
To be fair,
like, this bread's Dutch original.
They fucking hate Dutch, the Tory slats.
No, Dutch original's not fucking bread, is it? I meant to say Warburton's. Sorry.
Fair enough. When did they become the bread du jour? Eh? When did that happen?
What? Orbiters?
When did they become ubiquitous? And what's happened to Mother's Pride? How did that happen?
Probably something to do with the
Mother's
Pride
still going.
Now, where is Mother's Pride? And Mighty White?
What's Warburton done with those two brands?
I think Mighty White going down might definitely be something that we can probably blame on the EU.
You'd think after the EU referendum, Mighty White would be more popular than ever.
They'll be back.
I think we should get ourselves out of Warburton and look behind their dry walls.
Yeah. I
think
so.
Sugar walls.
Okay, I've got another topic for you. I've got another question.
Good.
Scientists, I believe in Denmark, have developed a grass.
Scientists believe in Denmark?
Yeah, that's exactly what it says.
Oh.
Apparently there's empirical evidence for Denmark. Just released.
I don't believe it. Seems like climate change to me.
Sorry, I'm clearly not enunciating enough.
No, that was fine. I think I'm not hearing properly.
Scientists in Denmark, Nicholas, have come up with a grass that's easier for cows to digest, so they don't give off so much methane.
Oh, how does it affect the taste of the milk?
I don't know, but apparently it makes them more productive.
But how does it affect the taste of the milk?
Well, if it doesn't taste like farts, like current milk doesn't taste like farts.
But current milk
probably all right.
Tastes amazing.
Yeah.
You don't want new milk to taste worse.
Oh, do you think it'd be like new Coke?
Yeah, what, no different?
No, new Coke was horrible, wasn't it?
And then it was so famously hated that they turned it into a campaign. When they ended up bringing back real Coke.
Classic
Coke or something. Yeah. And people, there's a theory, some sort of... They kind of spun it and managed to make Classic Coke. Like, Coke and Pepsi were in this war, and I think Coke was losing, which was why...
And then he died.
Yeah, which was why Coke tried out new Coke, because they were trying to get ahead in the cola wars.
Oh, because people were winning, Pepsi were winning the Pepsi Challenge, weren't they?
Yeah,
oh shit, what if consumers go and buy their Coke with blindfolds on?
And so Coke did new Coke, and that was such a failure. But when they brought back Classic Coke, suddenly there was this people who weren't buying Coca-Cola suddenly like stopped buying Pepsi and started buying Classic Coke.
Yeah.
And so there is a theory that I don't think is accurate, that was what they planned all along, but I don't think that I think that's a happy accident.
Apparently all the new Coke, they ran it through a cheesecloth, and that's how they made Tab.
Yeah, I think so. I
took
don't
all
really
the
understand
brown
the reference.
Oh, the cheesecloth took all the brown out and it turned into Tab.
James, Brexit means Brexit.
Yeah, exactly. It's like putting Coke for a cheesecloth. That's what Brexit
means. I thought Tab had a colour and only Tab Clear was...
Oh, I don't know.
...uncoloured Tab.
I mean, I didn't really mean it. I don't think that is how they make Tab.
Is that? Do you think there'd be any way for scientists to do research? Well, there's always a way. But do you think that they'd be able to measure... the variance in a person's voice from the point where they answer the phone at work to the point at which the person on the other end of the phone talks a lot like that, like does the Ray Winston thing. Because I find that I always answer the phone and I sound quite professional. And the more heavily, like, accented the other person is, the more... Well, not accented. There's this guy, I'm thinking of this specific guy at work, who talks in this really broad sort of... He always sounds a bit stoned. He talks like... he's one of the more intelligent people where I work, but he kind of talks like that. He talks in a drawl. And within seconds of talking to him, my phone voice changes completely and I start trying to sound like a bloke. And I think most people
do a bit of that, don't they? Where they start mirroring the person that they're talking to. But I wonder what the variance is.
That's how accents get created, though, isn't it? Is we're all trying to assimilate. So that's why people's accents change. I remember, like, as a kid, my cousin lived between the UK and New Zealand. So it seemed like his parents would live a few years in New Zealand, a few years in the UK. And when he came back from New Zealand, he'd have a strong New Zealand accent. And by the time he went back to New Zealand, he had an English accent again. And the poor bastard never fit in anywhere because his parents were always flitting from one country to another. Poor sod, I felt bad for him.
Who was Jamie Oliver trying to impress?
His wife.
It must have...
Channel 4.
Was it Channel 4?
same priest. Was it? Was that it? That was Jamie Oliver. I thought we had 5 minutes on Jamie Oliver.
I used up my type 5.
Yeah.
I used up my type 5 while I was on the toilet.
I've got a sink.
Shit, that sounds like I'm talking about poo, and that wasn't even...
Hold on, I've got this killer Jamie Oliver one-liner. Who's he trying to impress then?
I literally...
Sliding down the fucking rail of his stair. The banister is the word I was going for. I should have said banister. Oh...
Is this what it looks like? Someone generating a joke on the fly?
That's right. The frigging flywheel is grinding to a horrible...
Give us another subject.
Crashing hole. All right, okay, let me go to the random
subject. Or is it time
subject.
For a break yet?
Yeah, actually, I think it's...
Just so you know, I shared Dave's pictures on the group, on Facebook, on Twitter, and on a group on Facebook called Nerdy Bears.
Good man.
So, yeah.
Nerdy Bears.
You're keeping the wheels on the social media while I, me and Nick sit here lardy-darring like a couple of fancy dads.
And everyone else.
I don't know.
No, I think there was something quite telling in what you just said.
Yeah, I wanted to
lardy-dar fancy danning.
Yeah, I wanted us to carry the can because, for reasons that are frankly too complex.
To be fair, we are the biggest. Idiots. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I mean, I'm quite short. But I think I'm still bigger. I can't eat any more of those. I've already eaten so many. Okay. They are really tasty. For the listener, these are Co-op's irresistible oven-baked Kashmiri chicken naan chips. I don't like the texture.
I didn't care for them.
I don't like the texture, but I like the taste.
Yeah. Oh.
They're like dried bread snacks.
Yeah. See, I've been eating them not in Marks and Spencer's recently. And that's very Marks and Spencer's, so...
The problem is, I want hot food, but those things have filled me right up. And they're not even... I don't even favour them.
You could warm them up. Yeah, so, like, in your hands.
That's the best way to eat snacks. Warmed up in your hands. These crisps are nice. They're truly irresistible. Oh, it's truly irresistible. The Posh Co-op brand.
Oh, yeah. I've gone for the Posh Co-op brand stuff.
Sweet chili flavour crisps.
I'm going for my Wii. I see no point. Nick's on a roll. I'm not going to turn the mic off. What's the point?
All right,
I'm not on a roll.
This coincides with me going to get some food, so...
Oh.
Wait, what's going on?
Not literally, I'm going to get sweets from the kitchen. That's something. Fine, that's
yeah, not discovering new food.
Didn't want to be judged for that.
So James is literally leaving the room.
Yeah.
Jane is literally leaving the room.
Yeah.
Well,
no one is pretending to be leaving the room.
Yeah.
What, no one's pretending to? What, just saying, oh, I'm off to...
Sometimes, and
but
then
I'm actually and still then, here.
Boom, 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 boom. Hey, Bernie Clifton. I see, I can't do it because I'm just pretending to be something I'm not at that point.
All right.
Ah, I want to soak your blood.
I was thinking Bernie Winters.
Oh, Bernie Winters is almost as good as Bernie Clifton. No, I think Bernie Winters is better. Was he a puppet man?
Bernie Clifton was the guy with the ostrich, right? And Bernie Winters was the dude with the St.
Rod
Bernard
Hall
dog.
Was the guy with the ostrich.
Yeah.
No,
Rod no, Hall
I
was
think
the guy
both
with the emu.
No, oh. Bernie. No,
Bernie Winters was the guy with the ostrich costume and the fake leg doobry.
Because the legs were his.
He's the one with Orville.
No, that's Keith Harris. And he's dead now.
Because the ostrich's legs were his legs.
Oh, God.
And then there were these fake legs down the side.
Welcome to late 70s, early 80s variety act hour.
He looks like
on
that was his legs.
I really hope there are Americans listening to this, right?
Donate!
Listen to us talk about fucking the worst elements of British light entertainment.
Oh my god, no.
Yeah, you've got no idea.
Let us tell you about a quiz show called 3-2-1.
Americans make a big joke out of like PBS telethons and the money raising telethons. That was like the entirety of 1970s and early 80s television in the United Kingdom, full stop.
Once sport finished on a Saturday, that was basically all you had.
We were nuzzling deep into the bottom of the barrel.
You had kids getting guns thrown on them Saturday morning, and then lunchtime was all sport, and then I think this is noisy. and then it was all telephone stuff. 3-2-1 was awful. How did Ted Rogers become an entertainer? I don't know how that happened, but I think it might.
It's amazing to think, though, isn't it? Like the United Kingdom, a really tiny little landmass, and specifically with ITV, had even these smaller corners of this tiny landmass making their own television programmes and broadcasting it to the rest of the nation.
I think
some kind of sufferance.
Yeah, ITV.
I have to say, though,
Yorkshire Television, you have a lot to answer for.
Dave is either cherry-picking or there's a huge amount of privilege on display when he says that this is the absolute worst of it, because we haven't touched on Mind Your Language.
I don't remember that.
Which was the most appalling. You kind of, Mind Your Language was really interesting. No, not interesting, horrifying show. It was set in a class, like an adult education class, where a white English guy was trying to teach English to a whole bunch of people from over the place.
Oh my god, okay,
and
I already can picture this.
Everyone who watched it remembers it as bad and a bit racist, but like you think, oh, it might be quite funny to watch just to see how different things were back then. But then you watch it and it's not quite as bad as seeing blackface.
Right.
But it's really not that, but like, it's really unpleasant. It's really uncomfortable to watch.
It was beloved entertainer Spike Milligan, wasn't it? It was a Spike Milligan vehicle.
Mind Your Language.
Yeah,
he wasn't on Mind Your Language, was he?
I'm pretty sure he was.
Although he was, a hilarious colonial
rep. I was going to say he played an Indian dude, but he was born in India, but he was born into a colonial family.
Are you thinking of Curry and Chips?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Mind Your Language was weird. And I think
Oh, it was on ITV. There's your first hint.
All right. I think a lot of people... We watched a lot of ITV in our house. I'm not sure what you're getting at.
What?
I don't understand.
Holy shit, the series was sold to other countries, including Pakistan, Australia, New Zealand, Sri Lanka, India, Malaysia, Kenya, Nigeria, Ghana and Singapore.
Do you think people sat at home and go, oh, yeah, no, they're right, the English are better than us.
Proving that people will take representation wherever the fuck they can get it, a lot of the time, probably.
There was a popular, I think it was Portuguese, version of Only Fools and Horses.
Brilliant.
In which Del Boy's name was Quim.
Because his foreign names are so funny. That's one thing, I mean, I think it probably doesn't do to dig too deep into Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, but that is one of the best gags in it. Is there's a Vietnamese guy in it called Dong, and when she gets introduced to him, you're thinking, really, they're calling the Asian stereotype Dong? But then when he first meets Kimmy, he laughs because her name is Dick in his language, his penis in his language, and then you don't know what to think, really.
It's our differences that make us so alike.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think maybe that's what people thought when they watched Mind Your Language. I wish I could remember more about this, but I have seen people talk about that show as if it was somehow progressive.
Brilliant.
Because it had all sorts of different people in it, and they all sort of got along.
Well, I mean, maybe for the time it was.
Oh, God.
See, progression's one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, you're right. Progression is...
Sorry, I was distracted. Jesse did a cough. You okay?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, he's asleep.
Oh, I can hear.
People talk in their sleep all the time.
That's true.
They don't tend to respond to questions.
Yeah, no,
I think usually. I do. I mean, but not normally sensibly.
I used to be able to talk to my wife when she was half asleep. She'd say all sorts of nonsensical stuff. It was great fun.
There are answers that make perfect sense to the person. Like, Amy will sometimes recount back to me stuff that I said in answer to questions.
Brilliant.
I'm like, no, I can remember saying that, and I can remember it really making sense to me at the time, but I just can't. Anyway, I had this dream once that was really fascinating, and I'd like to tell you all about it.
Please, go.
No, I can't. Oh. I don't really remember my dreams anymore, because I used to, and then I'd tell people about them, and people would humiliate me for how boring my dreams were to them, when I'd thought they were fascinating. So now I've just trained myself to never remember my dreams.
Why won't you give us
that? That's horrible. I'm suppressing my subconscious.
Yeah. It seems like the best way for other people.
I used to have a rich dream life, but now I'm just dead inside.
People weren't... It didn't make other people happy, so what was the point?
Well, that's nice to know what dreams are for.
I stopped really recounting my drug experiences after a while for the same reason. Other people's drug experiences are really boring.
Yeah, of course they are.
But your own drug experiences are really fascinating.
Well, yeah, but you were doing them.
That's true.
I thought I brought a lot to that.
Yeah.
What was the random generator thing?
Okay, let's go back.
Is it a real thing, or are you just coming up with, like, looking at your phone, pretending to
do
stuff?
Do you want it to be a real thing?
I don't know. I kind of just want the truth.
No, you don't.
I've seen the hand of the truth.
He is a pretty good what's that word for people who improvise things? He is a pretty good improviser, James is.
Imposter? Oh no, hang on.
Yeah. I was going to say charlatan, but sure. Yeah.
That's true. He is. He was in the Charlatans. So. Which was the Charlatans?
I'm the Charlatans.
Quickly, James,
survivor.
I want to make the reference.
They're the
work.
Only one I know.
Yeah, that was the song I was going to go
North,
with.
North
Shit,
Country
I wish I'd
Boy.
Sing with
it. Didn't they sing Linger?
No, that Linger. Was the Cranberries, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Fucking hell.
The Good Charlatans you're talking about.
Good Charlotte. What?
Good what?
The Charlatans were, they sang, the only one I know.
They were like shit Oasis, and they came before Oasis, and still somehow. I mean, Oasis are shit, but you know, like, the opinion of the man over here. But like... Like, yeah, they were like Oasis, but without, like, that real sense of, like, dynamism and, like, interesting, you know, driving beats to the music.
What, the Charlatans?
Yeah.
No, they were right.
They didn't lift enough from the Beatles, is I think what you're getting at. There's a really good version of a Cranberries. This is not, like, only got this from Travis Bickle on the Riviera finished with a really good version of a Cranberries song that was in, not English... It was in, I think, Japanese, but I'm not sure.
Which
one of those
song was it?
Well, what were their songs?
Linger, Zombie.
Kind of it.
Yeah.
There was one other one.
It wasn't Zombie because it didn't make me angry listening to it in another language.
Why does Zombie make you angry?
C'est la vie.
At the time it... like...
Good
at the time it came out, Zombie seemed hopelessly naive. In its politics,
but now it's
why.
On fleek because
yeah,
everyone loves zombies now,
and everyone's forgotten forgotten about the IRA. I think so. Now them, it seems like a really biting political song or something. But at the time, it was just like the song seemed to be about how awful it is that people are bombing other people, which you know seems evergreen, but at the time seemed hopelessly naive. I think.
Oh right, so I thought you meant the actual song itself, like. People were going, eh, eh, eh.
I mean, the song is a little bit annoying. But that can't be right. It can't have been Linger. What else did they do?
Linger.
Jane, what else
oh
did
my
they
God.
Do?
Blame it on the weatherman.
Let me look at the best of Cranberries.
I don't think it was Blame It on the Weatherman.
No, that's another... I don't know who that was, actually. I'm just...
Who did Four Non
Four Non Blondes.
What's going on?
To the toilet and I'm angry with you.
I realised what I was doing halfway through doing it.
Oh,
no, this is too early to be hysterical.
Oh, I don't know.
Dreams.
Oh no, hang on, I'm just going to look up
the other
I'm just going to look up the podcast. It's okay. Seems like a better idea.
Why is that still making music?
The last album of 2012.
So quite recent.
That's quite recent.
I mean, one Olympic cycle ago. If that's how you live your life, and some people do. Some people mark their life off by Olympic Games and World Cups, not me.
Olympians do.
Yeah. Well, just the Olympic bit. I mean, it depends how much I like football.
Wow, there's a lot of books with cranberry in the title.
It's a popular fruit, mate.
They were very inspirational.
Do you think there's like a sexual fetish for cranberries?
Oh, there must be.
That's one of the rules, isn't it? One of the internet rules. It's from Chungking Express, or maybe it's from Fallen Angels. Hang on.
Ian.
Dreamer by Fei Wong from Chungking Express. Was Dreamer a song by the Cranberries?
No, Dreams.
Ian angrily interjects, the Cranberries were not bewitched, and I agree, the Cranberries were not bewitched. Bewitched by far
the superior. Because witches aren't real.
No, well, they're as real as you want them to be.
And some people say I sound like my dad.
I don't know him.
Mm. Yeah.
You were dropping lyrics, weren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
Dropping lyrics.
Yeah. Dropping sick beats.
All right, Vanilla Ice.
Mike's dropping science on us here, and I'm... Nice. Only 15 seconds, though, Steve. Say love you.
Quick, Shazam that. Is it still Shazam? What's the thing I pressed now? I just pressed the button. Is it still called Shazam? Yeah, it's still Shazam.
Pietier has also said blame it on the weatherman.
Yeah, Pietier. Thank you for still listening, by the way, Beezer.
Yeah, well done, Ian.
I think the time's different where he is.
And the rest of you, thank you.
Thanks for analysing my joke, guys. It's
what we do.
The best thing to do is to
sorry, that's really loud
and over-explain things.
Yeah, yeah,
I always find that quite useful technique.
Oh, that noise.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Bela Lugosi's dead.
Is that Billy Idol?
No, it's Fei Wong from Chungking Express.
Are you taking a picture of the mic, or are you trying
to play music? To play music.
Yeah, this is Dreams.
Yeah. This is a really nice version of it, because you can't hear what she's saying. I don't think I give Cranberries much credit for the lyrics. See, I know it, really. I know the song, but...
Oh, can we play Lady Beard after this?
It sounds a bit
weird. Is this where we're at?
Are we
into the request hour?
Yeah. I take Noah to preschool on the bus in the mornings from where we drop off Max, the child.
You're listening to two grown men.
And the there were some people, I'm not sure whereabouts they're from. I think they might have been Spanish, but I don't know. There was a group of three or four of them. They looked Mediterranean,
Spanish.
But I know they weren't talking Greek because I recognise Greek. But so they were talking something. Could have been anything. They were olive skinned, so they literally could have been from anywhere.
Probably the Mediterranean, though.
And they were talking quite animatedly on the they were sat behind us, and they were talking quite animatedly on the bus. And Noah was kind of listening, and he clearly sussed that it wasn't English.
Yeah.
But he actually, what he said was quite funny.
He stood up and he said, Brexit means Brexit!
Yep, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what he said. But he said something like, they aren't talking daddy or something.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh. And I tried to explain language to him. He doesn't really understand.
You say, sure, otherwise they realise we've got a foreign surname.
No, I'm not my mother. I'm not ashamed of him.
I wish I could be your mother. Oh, we've done that, haven't we?
But it did make me think, like, that I used to hate when I was around other Greek people, like my family, or when I was, say, in a fish and chip shop or somewhere, because they were all in fish and chip shops in Southampton. That was the only time you ever met Greeks. And when I heard people talking Greek exclusively, and it ended up transferring to when I heard anyone talking their language exclusively, or not exclusively, but around other people, where I did feel, maybe because I was taking a certain amount of shit for being Greek myself at school, I did get really frustrated with people not talking English around English people, because I thought,
you're just gonna make them like they're gonna. That's not. That's rude. You shouldn't do that. Yeah. Blah blah blah. And it's funny because I mean, well, it's not funny, but I've totally reversed my position on that. And the fact they sounded a bit angry, I thought, well, if I was like an actual immigrant rather than just a first generation immigrant, I would probably be really angry all the time at the moment in this country as well. But it might just be that other languages sound angry because they haven't worked out how to be passive aggressive.
Other languages are available.
Yeah.
How are you getting on, Dave?
I'm drawing page 16.
Well, getting there, mate. You're turning them over.
Until you call on me.
Yeah.
Each time you do this, I feel like I'm still quite cogent and you know, generally functioning all right. And then you ask me to speak.
Yeah.
And that's more of a challenge.
Right.
I did have a thought about. I mean, you probably may even be observing it in me right at this minute. I was thinking about talking about accents. You were talking about the subject came up of you, it was Nick talking about how you moderate your accent. And I find what affects the way. I'm just calling straight back to a different subject from a different part of the conversation. Probably an hour ago. Possibly irrelevant. I don't know.
I think we've got the space to do that. Yeah. It's fine.
But yeah, it depends what I'm talking about.
True.
For me.
Alright.
That seemed like it was going to be really interesting before it came out.
No, I think I do that.
I sound more English. When I'm talking to someone with an accent, my accent gets stronger.
Is it because you want to make them feel uncomfortable?
No, I don't know why I do it. Okay. Maybe because I'm rejecting sounding like them.
That's psychology, really. The more defensive you are, the stronger your accent is.
Alright.
Yeah.
It's like Mark and Tosi. Dave.
Yeah.
Someone should ask you if you like fish pie.
If it's a nice, tasty fish pie, I do enjoy it. Yes. Yeah.
If it gets all served up to you, all nice and hot, do you like to dive right in?
I like fish pie.
I'm really hungry.
I like a big portion of fish pie. Yeah. Yes. I do. Yeah.
So about sticks, fish sticks.
Not so into it.
No,
not so okay. into it.
Nice, fish sticks, nice just creamy fish pie is what Dave likes. We've established.
Yeah, aren't they off-brand? Oh no, fish
big
fingers.
Chunky.
Fish fingers
aren't a brand, Dave. It's not like Hoovers.
I wasn't sure what birds I'd done to them.
Hoosers.
Hoovers.
Oh.
Hosers.
What does that even
mean? The Hooters.
Mean?
We're a band. They did a song called Satellite. I love
it.
Hootie and the Blowfish. I think they became Hootie and the Blowfish. Once you gathered enough experience, you had to catch a lot of hooters before they'd evolve into a Hootie and the Blowfish.
Wasn't that
Which was like, it was the same person but bigger, and then there was a little blowfish around.
Yeah,
like,
if I remember, it was a Ponzi thing.
Yeah. And Ponzi was a completely different Pokemon.
Yeah, it was from Happy Days.
Yeah, you got a bunch of Fonzies. And then they evolved into a Ponzi.
You made a pyramid out of them, and then they turned into a Ponzi.
And then they had to fight a shark. And that's rubbish. I sound a bear in my head.
No, you did really well, Jane. Let's workshop it.
You have to be really careful about James, because he keeps... He's gathering stuff for his Type 5 all the time. He's always working.
What does Type 5
mean?
He's waiting for
Type 5 minutes of stand-up.
He's still dreaming of a day when he'll get called on to do 5 minutes on Letterman, basically.
Yeah, well, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, but you still dream about it.
He's too busy running with his beard.
Yeah.
I
didn't realise he was married. He's actually got a big beard, hasn't he, now?
And he's famously married.
So's John Stewart.
Famously married with a big beard.
No, he's just, since he left The Late Show, he's got a massive beard.
John Stewart's beard isn't that big. He was on Colbert the other day. Colbert. And it wasn't... Hello.
Sorry.
It wasn't that.
That is the weirdest tick I've ever heard.
More tea, vicar. No, thanks. Makes you fart, etc.
What the fuck was that? Did this happen on Stacey's podcast? I can't remember what was happening around the.
At this time
what hour
night,
are we on? I'm going to.
At this
gonna
time of night on Stacey's podcast, I had been out drinking with my mate Lee all day. I'd come home, I'd just about sobered up, and I called up, and it all started very nicely. Yeah. I had an argument with Barry Nugent about
north and south of the river because he's from the wrong one.
He was getting really delightfully lit up by the time we were talking to him.
Yeah, and then the topic of race in relation to comics, because they asked me, "What am I angry about at the moment?"
Yeah,
and I took why their word and answered the question.
Brilliant.
I think they genuinely wanted to be something to fire them up a bit to help them through the wee hours.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't.
I think pizza works much better for that.
Yeah.
Pizza, though. Weren't we talking about pizza?
Let's all look hard at James and keep talking about pizza.
I don't know how else to look at it.
Oh, I hate ordering the food. I don't want to be the food orderer. Oh, man.
Wait. Is the look hard? Or are we hard while we're looking at
him? We'd love you to order the food. Yeah, absolutely.
It can work out to be both.
I'm pretty sure.
I feel like I'm enabling you, though.
Oh, no, I hate, I really, I get funny about it, and it's not a mental health
thing. But it's
the
easiest thing ever now.
Oh, man.
I'm pretty sure.
You win at ordering food.
Talking to people, strangers on the phone is
horror show. I fucking hate it.
Who said anything about a phone?
Are you about to say what I said? Like
about 4 hours ago.
Yeah, I think possibly. Just Eat, yes. iPhone app, yeah, there we go.
Why?
See, you need to get it, James. Should
I Just Eat for us?
No, this is the best thing about winning the argument of who has to go to the door. I'll order, you go to the door, I'll order on Just Eat.
Yeah, okay then.
Oh, sorry Steve just goes to the door anyway because I get really weird social anxiety around strangers at the door that I end up saying really stupid things to them. So
that's fine, I've got protection. It's not hope you enjoyed that last 5 minutes of us organising what we're having for our dinner.
Yeah, I imagine it seemed like a real sharp drop in coherence to people.
I think everyone just wants pizza now. I don't
think
it's
the most interesting practical thing. Like anyway,
I'm not.
I have to. I feel like there's a safe enough distance from it that I won't go again if it happens. But the last time where I really got the giggles, I actually almost went
to the toilet.
I started losing it a little bit.
Okay,
and I thought, oh, this might be the time. This might be when I have my breakdown.
Oh, fuck.
No, not as bad as that. But I got so I couldn't breathe properly, and I was like, and then I realised that, like, oh wow, that feels funny. My head feels funny. This is what it must be like to, when people like choke themselves to. But I didn't have the erection, but you know when people do that, they make themselves lose oxygen a little bit.
But it's because you're laughing and you're not breathing properly. Yeah. You're getting lightheaded.
But I thought I might not stop. That was the thing.
Well, no, your body will make you pass out.
And might really want us to wait.
Why did you think of that?
When?
You associated laughing with being strangled and having a wank.
Because I couldn't breathe.
But you were doing...
And then I thought about Robin Williams.
You were doing the hand movements to head, shoulders, knees and toes at the same time as well. So it's just like... We need to explore this, Nick.
Auto-humorous strangulation.
I don't know if I feel worse or better about the fact that Robin Williams, like... I don't... Like, he was ill, wasn't he? I mean, he was ill.
There's
but, like...
There's no way that this conversation could be anything but positive and upbeat.
Sorry, I forgot. I forgot that's what we were aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's have another... deep conversation about mental health.
No, but that's what I mean. It's apparently...
Yeah.
Apparently... well, I mean, it is still about mental health, but apparently he was quite... He had Parkinson's or something, his wife said. So, yeah, okay. Well, let's not talk about that. That's fine.
Who are you talking to?
Well, I realised that James really didn't want to talk about...
No, James is not paying attention.
Give you that impression.
James is paying attention. The rest of us will wait for you to finish your...
Apparently Robin Williams had Parkinson's.
Yes.
So he wasn't God, there isn't a way to talk about it. It wasn't just his depression. There may have been other things, like there would have been other things going on that he had he had Parkinson's.
It may have been more of a choice previously.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right. And I don't know how I feel, but the last few
months before his suicide, he was having a really hard time managing his symptoms.
Mm.
Yeah,
I know for a fact that the time it happened and the way it reported made my wife more concerned about leaving me at home on my own.
Mm.
like genuinely.
Yeah,
it triggered fears in her in terms of living with someone who's got depression.
But at the same time, it means she holds you in a very similar esteem that she holds Robin Williams.
Yeah, quite rightly.
Which is, you know, I mean, it's a compliment. Really.
I haven't had my Morecambe Mindy moment yet, but there's still time. Like I say, I've been working on this type 5 about sewage.
Based on... it's quite specific, but I think you can make it a bit more universal.
I thought it was quite good. I reckon I've got at least 2 minutes on fatbergs.
Which is, when the Southern Water Christmas party comes up, you're going to be right in there.
I will be very popular on the after dinner water circuit.
Shit. By your metric, Steve, by that metric that you have just put the spectre of in my head, which I hadn't even considered before.
Oh, Phil Spector,
my wife was incredibly sad about Robin Williams. But didn't seem worried about me at all. So does she hold me in less esteem than she holds Robin Williams?
Well, you'd have to ask her.
I don't know if we can have that conversation. Might seem a bit out of the blue.
Can pretty confidently say yes.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'll just phone her up now on Skype or whatever and we'll just live stream it. That'll be fine.
Do you like that?
Do you have a tremendously loud home phone we could phone now?
Nobody has a home phone anymore, surely. Oh.
No, I threw ours in the bin last week.
Was it cold calls?
It doesn't fucking work. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah. It was funny when James's phone goes off or did go off when we were around here and everyone just look at it. It's like, what do we do?
Yeah, I'm done with it.
Who is it? It's going to be someone's mum. Nobody wants to pick up the phone.
Or a cold caller. It's always like junk calls.
At this home phone ringing
seems rude. Greenpeace phones Steve all the time.
Who does, sorry?
Greenpeace.
Why?
Steve.
Why do they phone you all the time?
Because I'm a member.
We want you back on the Warrior, man. It's not the same. Come ride a whale with us.
Things like, I got a little bit of a pay rise. I could probably give a little bit to charity, and then like they want to be your friend. And I'm like, can I just give you the money and go away, please?
Yeah, can you make do with the amount of money I'm already giving you, but maybe save money on employing people to phone me up to ask me for some more money? Like,
this is enough for me. I've only been donating for 2 months. Don't ask for a raise right now.
Yeah, look, I could lean the shit out of that process.
I ended up leaving. I was a member of Greenpeace for a while, and it was before a lot of email-y stuff was happening.
Probably before you guys had heard about it.
No, so was basically it. I got
as
a letter.
Another abuse piece.
I probably got. But everything was a letter that was like an automated letter that they'd send out. Mm-hmm. And so I'd get one through the door. I can't remember the frequency of them, but I think it was something ridiculous like weekly. I'd get a letter through the door with some new example of something that they needed money for, asking me to up the amount I was giving them. And that was literally the only thing I ever got. And it was like an automated thing. And I was just like, because you're literally... making me feel more and more, like trying to make me feel guilty every week, and I just...
Peace is expensive.
Especially green peace.
Especially green peace.
Yeah, I mean, mono peace is generally cheaper than colour.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to get peace when you've got mono, which is...
But it's never lupus.
Don't we call it ME?
It's lupus.
No, that's
a different
thing. That's your logo, Nick, isn't it?
Mono is glandular fever.
Don't we call it me?
Glandular fever.
Oh, is that what mono
is? Glandular fever, yeah.
Oh, God, that... I mean, ME is awful, obviously, but glandular fever can... Nothing I can say is going to make it sound like I'm being sincere about ME, so...
The first ME sufferer I was aware of was Craig Fairbrass from Bross.
Was Craig Fairbrass in Bross? I thought
that was a Right Said Fred thing.
He was... Oh, maybe.
Let's do this one again.
Let's do a second take.
Okay, Google. Okay.
I just want to highlight the phrasing there. I thought that was a Right Said Fred thing. What, Craig Fairbrass? just no comment.
He's trying to. He's
yeah, no, that's who Craig Fairbrass is. He wasn't in Bross or like.
Good. He's trying to use.
I think he was in Rome. He looks like he'd be in Rome.
Oh, that guy.
Wasn't
he in EastEnders? Oh yeah, he had his. He had his peak in Cliffhanger, right?
Yeah. Oh, listener, this is him. I'm showing you a picture.
Brilliant. Hold on. What's the
Richard Fairbrass
of
Craig? He's the guy in
from Bross. God, pick the bones out of that, Google.
If you were saying it while you were typing it, why don't you just ask Siri?
Well, there he is. Yeah. Craig Logan, of course. He was the first person that I was aware of, because in that way he stopped touring with Bross because he had ME. And people then, like, the joke was, well, he's just lazy. And it was funny at the time, but...
But so was Mind Your Language.
Exactly. And that's how progressive thought works.
I mean, it's one good. Minute, it's good, really, that it's not...
Is that 1 minute written?
Yeah, 1 minute it's all right to take the piss out of Craig from Bross, the next minute it's not, and you've got to keep up. Because one day you're going to get left behind.
No,
you
don't want to be first full circle. It'll be funny again.
Like so many Jermaine Greys in the rain.
I feel like this might be what it's like being my dad. It occurs to me that this sort of endless confusion Oof. About which Fairbross it is doing what.
No, he wasn't Fairbross, like he was a Craig.
What it's like having a conversation with someone in their 60s.
A computer lock.
Or like lots of people in their 60s. Like just an endless repetition of, was it him? No, he was in EastEnders. I don't think he was in EastEnders. Oh, he was in... No, he was in Bross. What the fuck?
I love how much nervousness my computer locking from inactivity caused around the table.
Well, we needed to know
if you had to pause next monologue. Are we still
on? It's alright, I think I kept it going while you were doing that.
No, it's still recording.
Next monologues are like buses. only if buses never stop coming.
Well, I thought you might want to stop, pause.
My experience with buses is you wait like 40 minutes for one.
Yeah.
This is why it's easier to walk everywhere.
Yeah. And I mean, that's literally it. You wait 40 minutes for
You're like a bus because maybe it turns up, maybe it's frustrating waiting for it to come, but when it does, it's really comfortable inside.
No, buses are horrible. They stop every 2 seconds. They make me really happy. Every 2 seconds? Once people on the bus, that's it. They've got to stay there until you decide you want to get
I know, but that didn't allow me
that's
to
exactly
sort of
what
make
it
a
feels
fancy,
like
suggestive comment about having sex with Nick. And part of the theme of my podcasting with Nick is the will they, won't they, yeah, they probably will sort of subtext.
Oh,
you probably have, and
buses.
Now they hate each other. Because they don't need anything from each other anymore. So they can just resent each other.
You'd hate
me
way more than you do if you'd had sex with me, Nick.
No, that's true. But my actually thinking about it, the Richard Fairbross thing, what I mean is... doing it not on purpose, because we do that thing, like, this is a bit of a behind the curtains thing in podcasting. Quite often when people on podcasts get the name of an actor wrong and start talking about, oh no, I think that was the guy in Goodfellas, what, Joe Pesci, no, he was a fish, that sort of thing, they're doing it on purpose, they're doing it deliberately, but I don't think we were doing that on purpose. I think we were genuinely confused about Fairbrasses.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I took a calculated gamble.
It's a narrow dynasty, but quite a confusing one, nevertheless.
Yeah, I'm not even sure they're related by anything but marriage.
By name, by letters in the construction of their name is the only relation they have.
The funny thing is, not all of Bross were brothers. That's weird, isn't it?
Well,
Super Mario Brothers, I mean, unless their surname was Mario and one of them was called Mario Mario, they're not actually Mario Brothers.
No, that's
they're
right.
They're Mario Mario.
Apparently that's what they did in... No, that's what they did in the film.
Yeah, I think their surname is Mario.
But the film was not canon.
So, Bross are an English band formed in 1986.
Was there even a canon in the film?
No, I don't think there was.
There was a bomb.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. But was he shot out of the canon?
Have you, Steve, have you seen Mike's T-shirt?
Sorry? I have now, yes.
Mm. I like it a lot. Mm. Combined
for the listener. Describe it for us, John.
So it is a themed T-shirt in the theme of Mario Brothers, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart,
yeah. But it's in the theme of an actual Grand Prix race. So the location, the poster and the date all make you think it's a real live Grand Prix event. It's good. Combines two things I like a lot.
Did you know in French, literally translated Grand Prix means best dick? True fact.
So, Bross are an English band formed in 1986 in Peckham, London, consisting of twin brothers Matt Goss and Craig Logan, and Luke Goss, who was not related. They're managed by former Pet Shop Boys manager Tom Watkins. The Pet Shop Boys, despite their name, are also not brothers.
They're not two guys
from the family pet shop.
But the boys that work at the pet shop?
They are just literally, they were two boys who worked at the pet shop. They didn't even really know each other before they started working there.
So I don't get the whole brothers thing. Why are you assuming everyone was brothers? Was that an 80s
Well, it's
thing?
Like the Cray Boys.
Their second album was sophomore
struggle. Going back to Bross, you're saying that... I didn't know they were... I was like, what's the assumption they're brothers? Oh, hang on, they were twin brothers, but the other one wasn't a brother. I can understand why somebody might assume they were all brothers.
Are we at the part of the night where we're going to have to deal with your existential anger towards the universe and its complete failure to make sense to you?
No.
Bastard universe.
Wasn't Bross in that Hellboy film?
All of them were.
A musical number.
They were also in Blade 2. I think basically they're like Guillermo del Toro feels the same way about them that he does about Ron Perlman. He'll try and stick them all in wherever they'll fit.
If you're keeping track of hand movements, Nick just did screwing in a very small screw and a nut grab.
I'm just traumatised to learn that Bross were from like my
man. Your guess.
Yeah. Oh yeah, to be fair, I obviously didn't think they were English. I thought they were Swedish or something.
Really?
Yeah. I've never.
When will I be famous? That's literally their one song. That was their only song.
It's not like with the London Boys, for example, where the clue was in the name.
Bross was a bit more ambiguous, and in fact if you didn't know that Bross was short for brothers, then you'd think Bross is just singled out for foreign terms, but only normally in 1950s, like shop chains and stuff, like Moss Bros. Come from generation where Bruv is short for brother, but now we've got Bro and that's really problematic. If they started now they'd be called Bro.
Do you think the band name should be more called Brohim?
Just like U2 should be U4 or whatever,
Yeah, what? U4.
Do you think all bands should be more literal
or Irish
for their names?
That means UB40 and Level 42 are fucked financially.
Because of the unemployment.
Haircut 100, I mean, Christ.
Yeah.
The word, yeah.
Oh, that was... Once you lose it.
Is that that song?
No, that's a different song by...
Was that Duran Duran?
That's The Reflex by Duran Duran.
By Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Can we get you anything, David?
Who weren't also in Twins.
I was...
Anything other than...
I was doing Love Plus One by Haircut 100.
No, Isley Brothers were all women. It's confusing.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. The Bee Gees were like anything? Two of them were married, and then one of them was just hung around, which was always a bit awkward. Yeah. And ABBA were all siblings.
Yeah,
these are things that people don't know about pop music. It was a bit weird in the '80s.
Oh, looks like Peter is off to bed.
Fucking hell! Always, I don't know things, Dave.
Well, don't last in this long, though, Peter.
Peter.
Night, Peter. Night.
What are you rubbing one out?
I feel like maybe it was my pop trivia that sent him off.
I hope he can keep his fences up.
I'm glad you got there in the end.
Yeah, thank you.
Why, what's happening?
I don't know. He's like in Ireland and stuff, and it's windy.
Oh no!
And he's got to get up early and probably judge a lovely girls contest in the morning.
That's right. Yes, so
that's some of
the lovely girls.
That's a reference to something, isn't
Father
it?
Father Ted. It's basically a little bit of casual racism about the Irish.
Not that I ever fall into casual racism. but let's tart this up to make it look I'm being ironic, so it's okay.
I've watched...
It's not okay, James. It's not
loads
okay.
And loads of Father Ted, but I only really remember that...
Not enough, though.
That was very far away.
Oh, that's very funny.
Kind of very far away. Which is the Father Ted equivalent of the Dale Boy falls through a bar thing, isn't it?
Do you think it is? Maybe.
I think so.
Okay.
But it does feature Graham Norton. Were you just laughing because you're remembering Delbert falling through the...
I know. I'm laughing because I remember the first season Stuart Lee's comedy vehicle bit about Delboy falling through the bar and the whole skit based around that.
I haven't heard it.
Oh, you're in for a treat.
Do you want to... You can reenact it.
Can you explain?
That will really enhance it. Yeah.
Do you think if they took that poll out, like Britain's favourite comedy skit would be something? It'd be more millennial, wouldn't it? Like that person,
Mrs. Brown's Boys.
Yeah, or that person who masturbated with a bottle in Big Brother.
Yeah, that'd be like it. That. No, there'd be something like that.
Oh, but that was okay because that wasn't exploitative.
I know because she was doing it. Her to a,
the bottle so, gave consent, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's okay.
I remember there was a woman on.
Looks,
I think maybe that's
it. Looks
same...
like this pack of snacks is plugged into the USB.
It does, doesn't it?
Being powered by irresistible artisan snacks.
Thank you for saving me from a Big Brother reminiscence. I realised almost straight away I didn't want to. That.
I didn't even know I was doing that.
No, it's good.
Sure,
I know,
it's
but
probably a good thing.
I would like it. I would like it. Would really please me. It would really satisfy me if at some point people voted, the British people voted, and didn't fuck it up. No, that's not what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's how democracy works.
The British people voted
the way we want them to.
On yeah. their favourite comedy skit. Mm. And their favourite comedy skit was that episode of Stuart Lee where he does the joke about Delboy falling through. That would just really please me.
I'm just going to look it up now.
I'm going to look up recursion on Google because that always makes me laugh.
I'm going to say...
it'll say Brexit.
Visit justgiving.com/fundraising/WHI.
To make this stop.
Yeah, yeah. We'll turn the mic off if we get over our £500. We'll turn the mic off for a bit. But otherwise, it's staying open now. That's it. It's late, so we're assuming that everyone who's still listening has basically fallen asleep with their computer on.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listener, I don't want to spoil it for you. Yeah. But if you Google the word recursion, just don't worry about the definitions or any of the links. Just look at what it suggests in the did you mean. It's pretty funny.
What are we up to, Dave?
I'm currently in. I'm working on page 16 at the minute.
Cool.
I kind of work in stages, like so. I do the pencils, and then I ink with the brush pen. And that's sort of the main inking stage is with the brush pen, but then there's a second inking stage with my technical pen, and I'm in the technical pen stage of that.
Would you like to talk about the tools you've been using today?
Where's your fucking tool?
Right here.
I think we're the tools.
Yeah. So I've used what I generally use, which is a 4B pencil.
Mm-hmm.
On this particular occasion, it happens to be the dependable Staedtler brand pencil.
Familiar.
Like I say, 4B.
Or not 4B.
No, definitely 4B.
Fair enough.
And then I ink, first of all, with a Pentel pocket brush pen, which is what I use all the bloody time. And then the technical pen is a Rotring Isograph 0.35.
Is that a refillable one, that one?
It is indeed, yes. And this is fascinating, I'm sure. And then I'm using Posca paint pens. So I've got a red one, a white one, and a black one. The black one I normally use to fill in large areas of black when I remember to, which what actually happens is I use the Pentel pocket brush to fill in large areas of black and then go, fucking hell, that would have been much quicker using the black Posca paint pen. But then I've got a red one that I use to, I'm using to spot certain areas and make them sort of pop more. And the white one is for fixing mistakes, let's be honest. But then I've also got a Posca paint brush pen, which I use for adding certain little effects. Like stars and lightning bolts.
Yeah.
Because this has got Thor in it, so there's lightning in it. And it's taking place on a dark and stormy night in space.
Oh, that's where we all started. You told it right back to the beginning. Well done, all those hours ago. Well,
do you mean dark and stormy night in space is where all life Were you, are you talking about Cosmos again?
No, I'm talking about the Twitter comics.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. That's also true.
Yeah, it's when we were,
it's also true.
It's when we were all here working and you were off slacking off wherever you were.
Looking after my children.
Yeah, lazy.
You don't understand if you're a parent, James. Wait!
It's all right. I palmed off the care of my child onto Mike. And Jesse, they did a fantastic job in bringing her up for me. Yeah. So I kind of derailed there. Do you want me to go to the random news generator again? Sorry.
No, I think what I really want to know is how much we've raised.
Oh, let's go and have a look, shall we?
£308.15.
There you go.
Okay, of our
£500
target. But I mean, that's essentially, that's like $6 now. So, you know. It's night time in America, so you should be able to help us out.
Is it night time in America now?
No. I don't know, is it?
A few hours ago it was daytime in America.
Well, probably.
But time does move. Is
it like Eastern time, it's 10 to 9 in the night, evening.
Oh, right, so it's not, we're in prime time, so we'll be tuning time, in, yeah. Won't be going out for the evening. Well, I mean, why would they?
People were talking about pizza a little while ago.
Yeah, about and then an hour people ago.
Stopped talking yeah, about it again.
No, I'm not.
Oh, shit, sorry.
Why did anyone think I was on it?
Because you said you get the door and I'll order it. And I thought we'd made an agreement.
No, that wasn't an agreement.
That was the beginning of negotiations. It wasn't the end of negotiations. No, I was saying
as an example of how easy it is now to negotiate about someone else going to the door.
Oh.
You can't just... That isn't the plan. It's vaporware. You can't just come up with a broad strategy idea thing that you just throw out there and then not move forward with policies and stuff like that.
I'm looking at exactly what I've been looking at the whole way through.
Are you calling James the Theresa May of dinner?
No. I'm not. You just did.
Boris Johnson of dinner.
I'm not. You just did.
No, well, you do ride a bike.
I do, yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I've not mentioned it. Yeah. It's had quite a positive effect on my life, Nick. Have I not spoken to you at length about it?
Is that why there's that bike in your living room? It's in the way of all your books.
I don't need books, I've got a bike.
Oh, yeah, good point.
You've misidentified the room we're in, though, and I feel like I want to take issue with it.
Is this the sitting room?
Well,
is this the dining room?
I mean, functionally, it's the sitting room at the moment because we're all sat down in it.
It's open plan. It's very confusing for me.
Yeah, I guess, to be fair.
I like to be able to categorise more clearly.
I think if you're in a room and a table takes up like at least a third of the room, then it's got to be a dining table,
isn't it? Yeah. When I've eaten here, this is where I've eaten.
That's how that works.
The big bike is presumably for when you're going to work or cycling up a mountain or something like that, right? Is the little bike for when you're going round and round in circles in the precinct impressing your mates?
Yeah.
Cool. It's tiny, though. Do you even fit on that? That bike there?
No, it's not. It's perfect size.
Okay. I don't really understand you hipster biker people.
Can you ride a unicycle?
I don't know. You, I mean, I'll play it. Is that how that works?
No, that is not how that joke works. Although, actually, I can't remember how it does work.
No. Do you know how to ride?
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you like good music?
Good music, yes.
So subjective, though, isn't it?
That's a song, isn't it? Do you like good music? Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a passive-aggressive song, actually, thinking about it. Because you wouldn't... If you're a musician and you brought up that subject, presumably what you kind of want the people to say is, yes, and I very much enjoy what you're doing.
Mm.
But...
It depends. If you like, because I think musicians, like most creative people, have a strong sense of imposter syndrome. So really, what they might be saying is, "Do you like good music?" Sorry.
Yeah. We should, James.
Yeah.
It's your.
Well, no, I'm trying to order pizza now because it's my job. Apparently,
do you like good pizza?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. So,
do you think podcasts?
We should, like, should we have a break?
Yeah, I'm going to order 3 big pizzas.
Yay!
Right.
Oh, have anchovies.
And ooh. No, no one likes anchovies.
I like anchovies.
Oh my god!
All
right,
anchovies are awesome.
I like anchovies, but only in handfuls. I don't really like them on pizza.
Yeah, the only things I don't like on pizza.
I couldn't eat a whole one.
Can you get pork scratchings on pizza?
Hold on.
Or order them on the side.
Yeah, that's better. Yeah. That's more acceptable. That's more socially acceptable.
Yeah.
On a pizza.
Oh, the extras on alphabetical. That's really difficult. Oh, no, they are. They just
so
don't have anchovies.
It's not a deal breaker for me. No. But it might be for Mike. So I'll have his.
Yeah.
Is it a deal breaker for you?
I can live without.
Shall we have a break?
Yeah.
So do you want someone else to come over there and
do it? So
he can do it.
So what? I tell you what. Someone brought up music. What? A talking point, discussion subject, whatever. Like, what good albums have people got lately? Because I got like 3 good albums recently. I'll be happy to talk about a little bit.
I am.
Can we just? I want some sort of confirmation that you're happy with the 3 types of pizza I've gone for.
Okay.
I'm not going to have any pizza, so I'm excluded from this.
Oh fuck! That makes life complicated.
Why?
I don't know.
Make life easier.
One less person.
Although I'm not fussy, so.
And Jesse is unconscious.
Yeah, well, I won't count. I'm getting an American hot, a double pepperoni, and a meaty one.
Will
that satisfy people?
As
long as at least one of them doesn't have any onions on, I'm very happy.
Double pepperoni hasn't got onions on it.
Cool. Good.
Do you want me to put my? No, I'm joking.
It's getting the American hot insensitive when we've got a Canadian here.
What?
Is
we'll
getting
an
American
just
hot.
Say north and
it wasn't really something that bore up to scrutiny.
We'll just say it's Canadian hot.
Yeah. So, Dave.
Yep.
Yes, thank you for asking. I haven't listened to any new albums recently, but I have been listening to Childish Gambino a lot, and when I'm driving around, I like to pick the most sweary music I have, because I like having the window... This sounds like I'm doing a bit, but I am this obnoxious. I like having the window down.
It wants me to pay!
Does it not have a...
No, pay by card or cash.
There you go.
And... So on the way over here, I was listening to the William Burroughs, Disposable Heroes of Hip Hop, William Burroughs album, which is very good, but it's mainly William Burroughs saying, "Did you ever hear about the man who taught his asshole to talk?" and stuff like that.
Okay.
Spare ass Annie.
Okay.
Do not get into business with a religious son of a bitch. He'll always fuck you on the deal with God on his side. I'm not really... I don't know why he's got that accent. He's not from Chicago or New York or whatever that was.
That was John Romita Jr. land.
Is that what he sounds like?
Oh, right.
Yeah, that is what he sounds like.
He draws you a Spiderman. Yeah.
It's all stuff like that. And then there's like the Disposable Heroes. Boom, ba-dum, 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 wow, ba-dum, bam.
I don't...
Let me tell you about Spat Ass Annie. And then he says, "But I am dying." It's good, I like it. And I've been listening to lots of Public Enemy. But, well, I say lots, the same 2 albums, because I don't have loads of them.
Which 2 albums?
Fear of a Black Planet.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to that in the car today. And I've been listening to Music and Our Message, because I thought that was the only album I had. And so I've been listening to that a lot. But I think I prefer Fear of a Black Planet. I just forgot I had it until earlier today.
That's definitely one of the classic ones people talk. The only one I ever had was... I've got the more recent ones, but the only back of the classic ones that I had... what's it fucking called? Fight the Power. The one that's got that on. Is it called Fight the Power?
I think that's one of the ones I've got. I get confused, because I only really know about 3 or 4 of their songs really well, and they're spread across the 2 albums that I've got, and then there's loads of there's loads of bits of samples and stuff, which are quite cool for colour, but you wouldn't necessarily... they're no one's favourite song.
Have you heard... like they've done a couple of albums recently. They did that... Most of My Heroes Don't Appear on No Stamp. Came out a couple of years ago. That's a good album.
Oh, I think I knew that came out, but I didn't listen to it.
It's very good.
Chuck D's kind of... He's really interesting. he's really interesting interview, isn't he? And he's... But they always seemed a little bit like...
Chuck D was pulling in one direction that was kind of anti-gun, anti-violence, and all that stuff, and Flavor Flav kept getting arrested for trying to shoot people or something. So there were these like two very different, bit of a dichotomy going on in that band that made them frictiony and interesting.
Yes.
And Righteously Angry. It is weird listening to those albums from, because they're from the early 90s, I think. At least one of them, I think, is from the early 90s. And always think of Public Enemy as, and Chuck D, as one of those people who people listened to because his anger and politics and stuff were quite unusual in hip-hop. And it felt like they were maybe at the forefront of a movement or something, and that just didn't go anywhere. Like, you listen to it, and it's still the most political. Like, it's not the most political. There is lots of political hip-hop, that's not fair. But it certainly never became
mainstream.
And Public Enemy is still probably the most mainstream, super political, like,
that's probably true.
Rap. And that's kind of depressing, considering.
What's always interesting is how, like, even people who start to become quite mainstream, like Mos Def, if then as soon as they start getting political, then the mainstreamness goes away.
Yeah,
the mainstream walks away from them, and they become obscure again.
It's kind of interesting that Public Enemy became so prominent, and I think that must have been the force of, because I know there are three of them, aren't there? But I only really remember, I tend to think of Flavor Flav and Chuck D, and I think the reason they became so popular, even though the albums are fucking amazing, they're not populist at all. There are maybe a couple of, like, really solid, this is something that you will not be able to stop, like, singing to yourself, and then the rest of it is sort of quite experimental and weird stuff.
Yeah,
but their characters are so strong that they kind of became a force that people couldn't not talk about.
I think it's also the time that they were around as well. They came along at a period when hip hop was still kind of quite a big novelty, it had started being accepted into the charts or appearing in the charts in a way that it hadn't before, and they were kind of like, so they got to be the political rap band, and then there wasn't allowed to be another one.
It's really strange as well, because I've been listening to Disposable. I haven't been listening to loads of the Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy, but obviously listening to the William Burroughs album today has made me think about them a lot, because I used to listen to them loads, and I always thought of Public Enemy as quite, and I don't have a lot of exposure to the music, so a lot of my opinions about it are super naive, like pretty much my opinions about most things, but the Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopracy always felt like they were more experimental and unusual and more on the fringe of things, whereas Public Enemy were the people that everybody knew about, and they were the ones who everybody wore the t-shirts and etc etc. And I listened to an album by one and an album by another alongside each other, and actually, no, there's way more experimentation on the Public Enemy albums maybe than there even is. The Disposable Heroes were moving, like, were doing very, like, industrial stuff. So some of the noises on their albums are very different. They were kind of famous for the main musician was using, like, I guess, buzz saws or grinders against metal or something like that to make the noises. So the sounds were very industrial and stuff like that. But the actual songs, when Michael Franti moved on and did Spearhead later on, it was actually possible for him to take songs that they'd done as Disposable Heroes and deliver them in this much more soulful, sort of spoken wordy rap style without much transition, because the songs were definitely there, whereas the Public Enemy stuff is way more sort of, experimental's probably the wrong word, but just
led by his form.
Can I interject? Can I just for a second bring the mic down, so I can have a conversation with you guys about how we're going to deal with our food arriving?
Right.
I'd like to have that off mic, because now I've ordered it, I'm sitting here in a state of anxiety that we haven't organised door opening and money.
Okay.
So, seriously, it'd be less than a minute, listener, yeah. I promise.
It can be longer than that.
Fair enough, all right.
We can take a break, it's fine, that's okay. Okay.
Yeah. Are we going to take five?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Or ten.
It's fine. We will see you in five or ten.